always do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror and there they'll be, instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts. And they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
I literally used to go to bed at night and pray that I would wake up in the morning with big breasts.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama!
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
I want to squeeze them.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Nice melons.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, am I going to see some jugs or am I wasting my time
here? Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boobs are holding up nicely for a gal her age, I'll say that.
Roll another one.
It's not my fault.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
Choo-choo. Roll another one.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find
just like the other one. This one seems to be a
and now.
That's right, they're breasts.
Au naturel, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Our feature presentation.
You're making mistakes I didn't know were possible.
I mean, that's...
I've really covered all the bases.
You really...
When it comes to screwing things up.
Mugs, Beer Mug, who's in the room and with us, he's the producer.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Psycho Mike has moved on to his dancing career. But... I've never, in all of my years in here, I've never seen some of the mistakes he's making.
Well, and it's definitely...
I wouldn't even know how to do it. If you were to say, Kevin, make this mistake, I'd have to figure it out.
It's definitely three steps forward, two steps back, too.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I mean, at first it was rough, right? But then we had this brief shining period where everything, every day we go...
Yeah,
no mistakes.
It was 3-4 steps forward and maybe one back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
now
boom!
Now it's 1 forward and 8 back.
It's so. Like he's never been here before.
I don't know what's going on.
I mean, in my defense...
There's no in your defense.
Okay, well...
There just isn't. I told you yesterday, why don't you premix all that?
I did.
Yeah, fine. Where is it?
I have no idea.
That's fantastic.
You saved it, can't find it.
Here's the thing about that. That's part of premixing it.
Absolutely.
If you premix it and then you don't know where it is, you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened. It's like a tree fell in the woods and no one was there to hear it.
Unbelievable. The other thing is he keeps... When I'm standing in front of the microphone, I kind of control things because I can hear Bean, I can hear the callers, I know what's going on, and he keeps reaching up and like touching stuff and really bugging me. And then at some point I just go, okay, I got it. Just back off for just a minute. And then... I'll see an arm start coming in, and he reaches up and he grabs, you know, one of the buttons, and he doesn't really move it. He just kind of makes sure that it's still there. You know what I mean? Like, sort of just touches it. It might go up just a quarter of an inch, then brings it right back down. He's just checking.
It's sort of OCD, really.
Yeah, it is very much so. So then I go, I got it. Back up. And this is why Ralph's talking about how distracting he is, because he's just a whirling dervish back here. The other day, he did it a third time. He came up and started changing volume on stuff, and I literally turned and shoved him. I don't know what else to do.
Yes, I believe I was doing traffic at that point.
Sorry.
That's okay. And I saw you shove beer mug and he like stumbled back. I'm like, what? Are they wrestling now?
No, I didn't know what to do because I had like literally elbowed him once. I put my hand out, meaning just back off just for a second. Everything's cool. So I literally, that was my only option was to turn and shove him.
Well, I would like to see wrestling next time. That is my request.
Listen, it's going to happen. It is.
You may as well entertain us while you're at it.
And the other thing about Beer Mug that worries me is that he must not eat ever anywhere because when we get food in the morning, you know, we go to Jack in the Box, we go to McDonald's or Del Taco or Taco
Bell. Any of
Bell
the healthy
or,
choices.
All,
yes.
All healthy.
All the good places.
Sure, we have their healthy food. He always orders breakfast and then starts looking around. So, and then everybody else, you know, either protects their food or offers it up to him. So, and I'm sitting over in the corner and I look at Beer Mug and he's like looking around for food. Now, he just ate.
Yes.
So I go, I'm not going to finish this. Okay, I'll take it.
He so does pretty much eat half of all your breakfast.
He eats half of my breakfast, but then it's still not enough. Like, he scavenges. He goes around, he checks the trash cans. I don't know what's happening.
He may be homeless and
do
we
you
don't know.
Eat any time outside of this show?
Yeah, I do.
You do eat?
I do eat.
Do you eat breakfast before you come in?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, that makes sense then. But do you eat lunch?
I try.
There's no try. There's do you or don't you?
Usually when I get off around 1 p.m., I go home, snack in the fridge.
Dinner?
No dinner.
Never dinner.
I'm usually asleep by then during the week.
I got you. So that's why it is. Doesn't eat dinner. So yeah. By the time he gets here, he's famished.
You eat breakfast before you come in?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why?
I don't know. I just never picture you taking the time to do such a thing.
Doesn't take that long. It's just cereal. I just eat cereal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sugar cereal is basically Lucky Charms and chocolate Lucky Charms. Have you had those?
Magically delicious.
That's a meal right there. Chocolate Lucky Charms. Dude, that rules. All right. So anyway, Muggs is A, homeless. B, needs to get fed from someone somewhere. Because he's really just starting to take all our food. And see, I'm going to kill him. So we got that going on. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
It is a Friday morning. We got the movie beat. Ralph will be here to tell you about all the movies in the theaters.
All right.
We have Allison Hayslip coming in. She, of course, is on G4.
Yeah.
She's got like seven things going on. She's got Attack of the Show. And she's also doing the Ninja Warrior, the American Ninja Warrior, I think. I think that's the one. She's blogging for The Voice.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know everything she's doing. It seems like she's got 17
That's impressive.
Gigs, so she's going to come in. We have Jesse James on the show today. How about that?
I'm excited about that.
When we had Kat Von D in, and we were talking to her, and she, you know, they're a couple. So we said, hey, put in a word for us with Jesse James, because he's been on the show before, but he's been reluctant to do press as of late. As you can imagine. So we're going to talk to him. He's got a new book out called American Outlaw.
You've been reading it?
I've had it for a week. Yeah. I'd love to have gotten further. And I probably will.
That isn't promising when I say you've been reading it and you say I've had it for a week.
I don't read.
But I thought this...
It's fascinating.
The part that you've read.
But I still don't read. So I have limited attention.
You just can't sit.
I just can't do one thing at a time. So I'll read a chapter and I'll go, this is really good. And then I'll go do something on the computer.
And then you completely forget about it.
Right. I mean, I've finished, I'd be willing to bet I have finished 3 to 5 books in my life.
Not for reals.
Yeah, for reals.
Just, oh, my God.
Sort of, I just lose interest, too. Like, I know where it's going. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell where it's going, and where it's but it's just going to take too long to get there.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's unbelievable.
Maybe 3 to 5 books. Maybe.
Wow. You were an English major. You had to read books in college.
No, you can scan them. No. You read, like, the first paragraph and the last paragraph of every chapter.
And looked
you're
at
good.
The table of contents.
Yep.
And
you're good that way.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm not bragging when I say that.
Right, just, I understand.
It's a
kids, read your books.
I wish I could read, but and I can, but I can't. And Andy Samberg is on the program today. How about that?
Funny dude.
Talking about the new Lonely Island CD, which is great. And it's got a bunch of videos on it, so you have to pick it up. We're going to talk to him about it. We were talking about this on Tuesday, which is why I was late. So that's coming up. And I have a new person to introduce you to that I think you'll really love. It's from the show Taboo, and it's an adult baby.
Like adult someone baby. Who never grew up?
Well, no. He grew up. Man, did he grow up. He grew up 350 pounds worth.
All right. But, I mean, he's a little...
He's 29 years old.
But he's like three
no,
mentally?
No. He knows what's going on. He's a 29-year-old. He enjoys acting like a baby and being treated that
way.
Yes.
Oh, that's like really like a baby?
Well, he wears a diaper.
Oh, no.
And he drinks out of a bottle. I'm not kidding. But he knows, like, he's
an adult.
He's aware enough. He has a job that he goes to, and he goes, when I go to the job, I kind of have to, you know, be an adult.
He takes off the diaper?
He does, because he's just too much making fun of.
Oh, my God. What happened to him when he was a child?
I don't know. He just says, oh, it's just such an innocent time, and everybody's treating you so nice, and he's got this gigantic fat woman nurse that takes care of him.
Oh, gross.
Like a mom. She's 500 pounds. It's magic.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
It's on Nat Geo, and the show is called Taboo, and this is called Adult Baby. And I got to tell you, it's one of the best things I've ever seen. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:50. What happened?
Let's just go home. Yeah. Seriously, come on, you guys. Just call it a day. Throw Don't something up and let's go. Joint,
it's the Kevin and Bean
Pass
Show.
Pass it over to me. Hello, check 1, 2.
The whole
check,
studio check, is check. Falling apart. I don't know what's happening. All chairs, righty. Microphones.
Yes.
None of this stuff works.
To college radio.
Yeah. I've done college radio. It's worse. It's better than
this. It's better than this. Yeah.
I would pay... I know. Maybe a year's salary to get just a big box of Kevin's college radio
that'd be
tapes.
Awesome.
Can you imagine Kevin on college radio?
I will tell you, my very first shift was a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. That's the important shift.
Well, that's your time, right. too. That's your time of day.
Sunday morning at 6 a.m.
You shine.
It was the first time. Of course, no one else was there because it was Sunday morning at 6 a.m.
And you were late.
I was not late. I was on time.
Wow.
But Sucker. I really had to go to the bathroom. So I put on a record, and then I left, and I went
Long
to the bathroom.
Long record, I'm guessing.
And I came back, and the door was locked. So long story short, I had to call the head of the broadcasting department at 6:05 and say, I'm locked out, and can you come down with a key?
Oh, yes.
You
should
are,
I have made a different decision right there and
you
then?
You are consistent, if nothing else, regarding your life choices and how you act. You are magic.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Sometimes people ask us, hey, what's your beef with the FCC? You guys are always talking about the FCC and crying and bitching about the FCC. What's your effing problems? God bless America. They're part of our government, and they do an important service for all of us. Who listen to radio and watch television, they say to us.
Yeah.
To which I say, bunk!
Yeah, we could talk about that forever.
And here's another reason why. We're a little dubious when it comes to the organization known as the FCC. FCC Commissioner Meredith Baker, about 4 months ago, she voted to approve the merger of Comcast, which is a huge cable system.
Right.
Based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
A monster cable system, and NBC Universal.
Okay,
they're merging.
Both huge companies,
right? And some people would say, "Ooh, it seems smacks a little bit of a monopoly, a little bit of antitrust issues when a cable outlet can also own a network."
Yeah, that seems weird.
But the FCC commissioner Meredith Baker, she voted yes. You can. Complete that merger, and they have.
Something go wrong?
No. She just announced this week that she is leaving the FCC.
Excellent.
Where's she going, Ralph?
She's going to work for Comcast.
Oh,
what?
You're kidding.
What?
I don't remember the last time they said no to a merger because it was too much
They don't.
They never do anymore.
No.
But they don't normally
Monopoly?
Then
What's
go,
that?
They don't normally then go right to work for them.
Or
that's exceptional.
Yeah,
Four
the timeline.
4 months later, she announced she's joining Comcast as its chief lobbyist. So she's going to use all her Washington connections to try to push through whatever legislation Comcast NBC wants.
Wow.
You know,
what could go wrong with that?
Listen, I know politics is boring and no one cares and no one really pays attention. And I know we live in a fast-paced society where we're all concerned with Bristol Palin's new jaw and how much weight Kelly Osbourne's lost. But in a world where people are bitching about whether Obama's got a birth certificate or not, this is the kind of stuff that's really happening that no one pays any attention to, and no one will march in the streets, and no one will complain, and no one will picket. They'll just idly sit by while this woman paves away for her own personal career by manipulating what happens to our airwaves.
Well, that's the negative way to look at it.
Sure, there's that. I'm sorry. I'm not looking at the upside.
Right.
Which is she'll probably make a lot of money with this move, so she'll get that going for her.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
No, it can't. All right, let's move on to better news, shall we? Two and a Half Men's got a new star.
Oh, they hired someone?
Just yesterday, I talked to you about the fact that Hugh Grant, British actor, was in talks to taking over that TV show for about $1 million an episode. He was going to be the new star of Two and a Half Men along with John Cryer. They're going to reboot and redevelop that TV series and put it back on the air and bring in a new star.
Right.
Then that deal fell apart, which I was disappointed by because I thought Hugh Grant would have been an excellent choice.
He was a pussy.
No, come on, Charlie.
I don't think they're asking Charlie.
They're not asking
his
Charlie
opinion.
Back.
No, I mean, I don't think they're asking him his opinion either on who they're getting.
Well, yesterday it's been announced that Ashton Kutcher will be replacing Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men.
Ashton Kutcher.
Move up. Move down. Horizontal move.
I'm going down.
You guess.
I'm going move down.
I'm thinking horizontal move.
Do you?
Yeah.
Still be the same. But you hated it before.
I was not a fan before.
I thought it was lowest common denominator, but it made me laugh.
Yeah. I don't think Ashton Kutcher will be any worse than Charlie Sheen was.
And might attract a slightly younger audience, too.
That's what CBS is hoping.
Yeah.
Because right now, CBS, the average age of the viewer on CBS is dead.
Right.
And so they're looking for someone younger than death. And he may bring that audience to it.
Show at a cemetery, that's where it's on.
And before he made a series of god-awful movies, I thought he was always very entertaining on That 70s Show.
I thought he was
a pretty good TV actor.
Yeah, he was, you're right.
So I think they found a suitable replacement. Right. Hollywood Reporter says his exact salary is not known yet, but sources who know claim it's a huge payday for Kutcher.
I'm sure, yeah.
Apparently Chuck Lorre has written the story which introduces Ashton character himself, so he's back on board in terms of running that show. And we'll see what happens.
You
but
could
they're
be
going
right.
Forward.
He scares me. Any project he's in scares me.
Yeah.
But you could be right about this. He might fit in this particular show pretty well.
I think a sitcom is right up his alley.
And this type of sitcom where he's probably going to play sort of the same character.
Right, he'll be boning a lot of chicks and whatnot, and there'll be little wacky misunderstandings.
It might be all right.
But like every romantic comedy he ever made.
Yeah.
So, look, I got nothing to lose, right? Except for maybe a couple mil, whatever they're paying him.
Yeah.
And if it revitalizes the show, everybody wins. Well, except for the torpedo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the torpedo of truth. Jennifer Aniston may finally be ready to show us her boobs.
All right.
She's making a new movie called Horrible Bosses. And Us Weekly claims that there is a topless scene in that movie. Jennifer showing off her cans for the first time in her career. Others maintain that the scene will never reach the screen.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But either way, they say there's going to be a very provocative advertising campaign for the film. She wants to be in a hit, and she has told the marketing department to push the envelope when it comes to selling her sexuality. So
I like boobs. Big boobs.
Yeah, me too.
Hers aren't that big,
but
they're
nice.
She's pretty.
Nice.
She's very, I think she's very pretty. Yes. It's just her movies are never good.
No, they're
that's
not.
True.
That's,
so, but her boobs are.
That's a given.
So
maybe
so
her boobs will
way.
Make the movie better.
Let's focus on what's good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary film actor Harvey Keitel is 72 years old today. While we're talking about legend, Stevie Wonder is 61 years old. And Dennis Rodman, former NBA star, turns 50 today. I've heard he's having a big party at a strip club for his birthday. I'm not kidding. That's really? Apparently where he's celebrating.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Stephen Colbert. How funny is Stephen Colbert?
He's the best.
One of the funniest shows on television.
If you guys don't watch it, he'll introduce a guest, and then the guest will come out and sit down, and then Stephen Colbert will run through the audience, high-fiving people and taking bows.
Acts as if the applause is for him every time.
So funny.
It's always funny. 47 years old today. Darius Rucker.
Oh, Hootie.
Hootie. He's 45 years old. Remember when you shined that laser pointer in his eyes?
I remember.
Or when you blinded Hootie?
I remember more clearly the phone call of apology
that you had to make.
Afterwards.
Dear Hootie, so sorry. And our buddy Rob Pattinson. Robert Pattinson of the Twilight films celebrates his 25th birthday today. I bet he's not happy about it.
Probably not.
I bet he's having a surly birthday. A surly, lonely, sad birthday.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does
all the
time.
It's really hard for him, you know?
It's hard to be a pimp.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and coming up, we have the movie beat. Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theaters this weekend. I'm going to recap a TV show for you called Taboo about an adult baby. He's 29. He's a big, fat 29-year-old.
I'm going to feel so much better about me way after this.
We also have Allison Hayslip coming in and Jesse James coming in. Mm-hmm. So how about that? First, let's talk about the situation and his dad and the series of videos that he has put up on YouTube. You would imagine his dad's a greaseball douchebag as well, right?
I guess.
The situation is the situation for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's his dad, and he seems very upset. It sounds to me like the backstory is dad didn't have much to do with him. He gets some money. Dad asks for some money. He gets turned down. Dad's mad. So now dad goes on YouTube.
Sad.
That's what it seems like. Listen to it and see what you get.
How you doing? My name's Frank Sorrentino. One of my boys is Michael Sorrentino, also known as The Situation. He created more situations for me in my life than the name he gave himself. I'm all for family, I'm all for this. Bull. You roll for yourself. And if that's the way it is, that's fine. I'm telling you, you're full. I know you. I stood up for you. I put my balls on the line for you. I ask you one favor, you tell me to go be like a regular Joe Blow and go on welfare? Nah, my friend. I don't do that.
I'm sorry, be like a regular Joe Blow? Really?
He asked him for one favor, keep me off welfare? God, how much money is that going to take?
I love my son Mike.
Yeah.
But you know what, Mike? When you get to the top and you forget where you come from, somebody should remind you.
I didn't know he was at the top. That's awesome.
Really, that's the top.
Who knew Mike the Situation was at the top?
Yeah, alrighty.
We've got his dad on the phone. We thought we'd talk to him. Hey, Frank.
Hello. Yeah, my friend, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good, my friend. Thank
All right.
you.
Good. Now, tell us about this YouTube channel. You've got, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 videos on it.
That's right. I got a lot of videos talking about my son, Michael.
Right.
Who broke my heart, by the way.
How did he do that?
He broke my heart. I asked him one freaking favor.
And what was that?
One favor.
What was that favor? Was
give me a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I ask. Mm-hmm. One little thing. I say, give me a lot of money.
Right.
He says, what, I'm supposed to be some regular Joe Blow going welfare? Nah, my friend.
Mm.
Nah. Nah.
But how come you can't go on welfare? Why are you not a regular Joe Blow?
Because he's on the top. He's got everything. He's got all the money. He's got the cars. He's got the TV shows and everything. How about a little something for the man who raised him? Something for the man who put his nads on the line every day of the week for this kid. And now he turns around and does this? Nah, my friend.
Yeah.
Nah, my friend. Nah.
All right, let me ask this, because I kind of got the feeling, listening to you talk, that you weren't necessarily there every day of his life.
I was there every day.
You were.
Every night.
All right.
I was there dusk. I was there in the dawn.
All right.
I was there midday,
right,
lunchtime. I was there like snack time.
No,
I was
just
the
asking.
Afternoon.
Just a
after school, before
all
school.
All right. I got it.
Sometimes even dinner time, after dessert time.
So you never left. You were never gone for a long period of time.
Nah, my friend.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay. So you call him up. You say, hey, I need some money. He says,
I got medical expenses.
Right.
I got whore expenses. I got a lot of expenses.
What, did you say whore?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like a good whore now and then. What, are you better than me?
No,
nah,
no.
Not my friend. Nah.
No.
Not my friend. You're not.
It's sort of the kind of thing that people don't say out loud very
Listen,
often.
Where I grew up, you settle things with your hands.
Right.
Okay? With your hands.
Right.
So if you want to start something.
I'm not interested in fighting anyone.
Let's do it. You and me with our hands.
I don't want to fight.
With our hands, we'll fix things with our hands.
You're right.
like patty cake or Rochambeau.
Okay? Oh, I'll Rochambeau you. I'd kill you.
Nah, my friend. Nah, you won't.
I would kill you.
Nah.
Kill.
Nah, my friend.
Kill.
Nah.
So, have you had any more conversations since you started putting up the videos?
Well, he's the situation, not the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's put me through more situations in my life than he ever created on that MTV show.
Right.
So I'm hoping for my own reality show where I can make my own money. Then I don't have to worry about this little punk kid anymore.
Right. So is this whole thing just a bid to get your own reality show?
That's right. Oh. I'm the confrontation. He's the situation. I'm the confrontation.
Got it.
And I hope you'll all watch my new show, which is called Trailer Park Shore, which is me living by myself. Drinking, like rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
And, you know, making phone calls.
That sounds terrible.
It'll be very entertaining. And I hope you all tune in. Me and Snooki's mom are going to get together and do it.
Oh, no.
Dear God.
Yeah, all the parents and the kids are going to get together.
I would like to see that.
It'd be great, my friend. Because, I'm telling you.
Because the kids all turned out pretty poorly.
Yes.
So you, the parents, can't have turned out much.
And you think Snooki's ugly. Where do you see her mother? Imagine Snooki with like 40 years and 50 pounds on her. Maron, what a fight she is.
So you haven't heard from Mike at all, huh?
I have not heard from Michael. He has not returned any of my phone calls.
Even after the videos on YouTube, nothing?
And I can't understand why. I'm doing all this love for him, showing all the love for him on YouTube, I get nothing back from this kid. That's the problem. That's what I'm trying to say.
But
he doesn't respect his father.
There's not a lot of love in those videos, by the way. I mean, you curse at him and you call him names and... It's just not nice. I wouldn't respond. I wouldn't be happy about that if I was your son.
Nah, my friend, you're right. I don't got any love for this kid.
Okay.
Nah, he's a douchebag.
Right, he is. That we can agree on. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday, and Ralph is here to take a look at the movie Bean.
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Hey, Ralph, could I start with a question? How is it that you risked everything? That intro. How did you risk everything?
Because it's a very dangerous job that I do.
How?
I can't explain it to you. You wouldn't understand.
Okay.
I know you have such a limited view of the world, you couldn't possibly comprehend.
You risk everything.
How I operate.
All right.
It's just really beyond your comprehension.
All right. I can handle that.
Interesting mixed bag of movies this weekend. Very interesting.
Is there a good one in the bag?
I think there's a couple good ones in here, but there's something for everyone, really. It's an odd, odd mix. For example, we have Hesher. This starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt of Inception fame.
I love him.
Great actor. Natalie Portman also in this.
Love her.
I wish she would make more movies.
She's been in every movie.
Can she please just be in one movie?
It's been one a week now for 2 months.
She's been in every movie that's come out this year. The interesting premise, an antisocial loner, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, takes up residence in a grief-stricken family's garage and begins to affect their lives with his own... anger issues, and they help each other, really. They help each other heal by just being together. It's a family drama, as you can imagine. Here are some clips from the trailer of Hesher.
My name is Paul Forney, and this is my son, TJ. I lost my wife, TJ's mom, a bit more than 2 months ago.
Hello there, young man.
Hey, old lady.
TJ, who is this?
My name's Hesher.
I'm a friend of your son's.
Sometimes, you know, a day is bad, and you think it couldn't get any worse, and then suddenly you discover whole new ways it can get worse.
All right.
Rainn Wilson also stars. You can hear his voice there as the dad in that film. Great reviews. People saying it's a very interesting, thought-provoking film.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a downer.
It does sound. It's not a laugh riot, if that's what you're looking for.
If you're looking for comedy... How about Everything Must Go? I didn't even know Will Ferrell had a new movie opening up.
What?
How'd they keep this a secret?
Will Ferrell's in it?
Everything Must Go, it's called. It's in limited release, as is Hesher.
Is it animated?
No.
What?
Will Ferrell plays a guy who loses his job, loses his wife, starts drinking, his life is crumbling, and decides to sell his worldly possessions on the front lawn of his house with the help of two neighbors. This is a dark comedy, as you can imagine, but great cast. Will, Rebecca Hall, who I love, Laura Dern, Stephen Root.
Wow.
How did they keep this under the radar? And why would they?
Maybe it blows.
Zero advertising.
I didn't even know this film existed until today.
Wow.
But it is coming out in limited release. Here is a scene where Will Ferrell is offering Christopher Jordan Wallace, who plays a character named Kenny in the film, he's offering him a job from Everything Must Go.
You might want to come work for me?
What kind of work?
Make some signs. Maybe sell a couple things.
What are you offering?
Discussing salary and responsibility up front. Smart. Very smart. I'm thinking $4 an hour. If I have to leave, you stay here, watch my stuff, act tough. I'll feed you. I'll give you bathroom and cigarette breaks as required by state law.
I don't smoke.
Good.
He's hiring a kid to be a salesman at his garage sale.
That sounds good.
It looks great.
Rotten Tomatoes is giving it like a 74.
Why haven't we heard of this?
That's crazy.
Why?
What happened to the advertising budget? Was there none?
Must be a low, low budget comedy.
Oh my gosh.
That's weird.
Why haven't we heard?
Well, let's go.
And Will usually comes on the show and he's got something to hawk. And yet, no word. This is all very strange. I think this film may cure cancer, and they're trying to keep it from us. That's what it is. The government.
The government doesn't want us to see it?
They're trying to shut us down.
Wow.
Also opening up this weekend, Bridesmaids. This looks funny. My buddy Kristen Wiig. Oh, look at Lisa.
So excited.
She can barely hold her water.
I have to wait a week, though.
Why?
Because I have people I'm going with. I can't go this weekend.
Why do you wait a week
when you're decided to see a movie?
Because my mom and my sister and I are going to go.
Go with them next week.
They can't go now. No, I'm not going to go again.
Why not?
Because there's other things that are good to see, too.
This looks funny.
They'll be okay if I wait a week.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Why would you delay joy? Why would you postpone happiness?
Maybe I'll still see Will Ferrell.
She's so much a better person than us. We would just go, F you.
Because I want to see it. And then when they were free to go, I would go with them. And we'd have a lovely girls' night out.
You would have
to. Do it all, Lisa. Live large.
All right.
God damn. Bridesmaid stars Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph. The story is pretty straightforward. Woman's getting married. She's got her best friends being her bridesmaids. But chaos ensues, and they're all a wacky bunch of broads, and hilarious comedy is created. Look, Judd Apatow produced. Man who gave us 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. He's got a pretty good pedigree. Great cast of very funny women.
I've heard a couple of clips. They're all funny.
I agree.
Yeah.
Here's a scene where a character named Rita, played by Wendy McLennan Covey, is telling Kristen Wiig about her sons while all the bridesmaids are getting together.
You remember my cousin Rita?
Rita.
Annie.
Hi.
Oh, I haven't seen you since you graduated high school.
Oh, my gosh. She has three kids now.
Three boys.
Wow. They're so cute.
They are cute, but when they reach that age,
they're disgusting. They smell. They're sticky. They say things that are horrible, and they're all over everything. Okay? Disgusting. I cracked a blanket in half. Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
I cracked it in half.
I cracked a blanket in half.
Because her kids are...
I think we understand.
No, I don't think you do.
That's the line of the year for me.
She has young, pubescent boys.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Who are speckling the blanket? And lastly, this weekend, we're talking about Priest.
Can't wait.
This is Kevin's movie. This is The Bridesmaids for Kevin.
It is.
Maybe you should wait a week, Kevin, and then go with me when I can go the following weekend. No, let's wait.
I'll go with you as well.
No, you wait and not see it and then go with me afterwards.
No.
Yeah, that's not good.
I've been looking forward to Priest for a long time.
Priest. Story of a priest who has to disobey his church's law to track down vampires who have kidnapped his niece.
Sweet.
I'm guessing there's some ass-kicking vampire murder in action that goes on in Priest. Paul Bettany has become quite the action-adventure star. He stars in the film along with Cam Gigande and Maggie Q.
From
Nikita.
Nikita.
Yeah.
She's so good.
She is very good, and she is super talented when it comes to the action-adventure stuff.
She's an ass-kicker as well.
Yep. Here's a series of clips edited from the trailer of Priest.
There is no vampire menace.
Fine, Lucy. Bring her home, and you promise me something, brother. Kill them all.
One of your own has broken his sacred vow. You will find him
dead or alive. They bred a new army.
He'll come after me. He'll come after you.
That's something I'm absolutely counting on.
You have no idea what's coming, Priest.
Ah! Vampires! Vampires! Ah!
priest!
I love that line. You have no idea what's coming, priest.
Oh, they don't know the priest is coming for them. Doesn't priest have a name? Is it just priest?
Priest.
Priest.
Priest. You have no idea, priest.
Like the High Plains Drifter.
Can't wait.
It's in 3D. Also, you may want to check it out on the big screen in 3D. A lot of choices this weekend. I think I could hardly recommend all of these. I would see Hesher if I was in a mood to, like, you know, if I was a cutter.
Sure.
I would. The Will Ferrell movie that we just found out about this morning sounds great.
Everything Must Go.
Way to sell your career, Will. Maybe you want to look into a publicist or something. I don't know. Maybe someone should publicize your career. Everything Must Go looks great. Bridesmaids. I told my wife I'm actually going to take her to see Bridesmaids this weekend. It's a chick movie I think I would actually enjoy.
Looks like a well done chick movie.
And yeah, Priest. Come on, everybody. Go see a movie. That's what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday morning. We have Allison Hayslip coming into the studio in a minute.
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah.
She has like 17 jobs going, so we're going to talk to her about that. We have Jesse James coming in as well, talking about his new book, American Outlaw.
See his interview on Piers Morgan?
Fascinating. No.
Interesting
stuff. Was he on last night?
Morgan pushed his buttons a little bit, but Jesse held his own. I was very impressed.
Jesse has been he handled it quite well, I think, considering all of the downside.
As well as he could have.
You could handle it a lot worse ways than he did. I mean, he seems like he handled it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that coming up as well. But first, we have Taboo Adult Baby.
Yes.
Taboo is the name of the show on Nat Geo.
Oh, I love Taboo.
And it's about a guy who is an adult baby. And
you know, you're so quick to judge, Kevin. I can hear by the tone of your voice. Oh, there's a guy who's an adult baby who wears diapers and poops himself and drinks out of a bottle.
Right.
And automatically you think that's a bad thing.
And lays in a crib.
Right. Exactly.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
You watched it.
I did.
And you came to a different conclusion.
Why can't the man do what makes him happy, for God's sakes? It's just a lifestyle choice. That's all.
29-year-old fat dude that has decided that he wants to be a baby.
He's going to live as an infant. That's all he decided. That's all. At 29.
His mom's not in the picture, so he's got this nurse.
But now, his girlfriend's around, right?
Girlfriend? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So
his wife and kids, they're not thrilled.
He's 350 pounds if he's a pound.
He's a big boy.
She's double what he is. She's like 700 pounds.
Well, listen, Kevin, if you're going to be a baby, don't you need someone much larger than you to be the adult?
I guess you do.
The first thing you see is dude wearing a onesie.
Sure.
Laying in a crib.
Sounds like heaven.
And then fatter woman comes in to wake him up in the morning.
Time to get up. Wakey, wakey.
I like to play or be treated as a baby.
Hi, puppy.
Just to get the love and affection, safeness. Basically, just go back to a time where you're caring for a 1 or 2 year old, and that's what it is for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not going back to a time when he cared for a 1 or 2 year old. It's when they cared for him. He wants to have that care. So
yes.
She comes in.
He's the baby.
She rubs his head, and she gives him a bottle.
Nice. Would you like someone to bring you breakfast in crib?
Yes, but no. No, you
don't really want to be in a crib.
Crib for me
is... Put on your onesie, just hang out.
It's a make or break it thing.
Where does he get a onesie, by the way?
Yeah.
He's a huge dude. It's a big onesie.
29-year-old Stanley Thornton spends around half his life pretending to be an infant. He calls himself... an adult baby.
With being an adult baby, I've had a couple different reactions.
All right, now, he's had a couple of different reactions.
Right. Well, some close-minded people like you probably think it's a bad thing, Kevin.
Right.
But the rest of us, we all think it's just downright pleasant.
Being an adult baby, I've had a couple different reactions. Some good, some not so good.
I'm going to guess...
lots of good reactions
he's
probably
guess,
had.
If I were there, see, and this was why I'm not good on a show like that, I would go, name the good ones. Tell me about the good reactions. But people come up to him on the street and go, it's so cute that you're drinking out of a bottle.
Congratulations on your pooping yourself in diapers. Well done. Well played, sir.
All right. So he's learned that if he goes out into the world dressed as a baby, he will get mocked too much. So
people are so cruel.
When he goes out, he does have to adult it up a little bit so that he can do it. So he's at like a Home Depot and he's getting wood. It looks like he's getting enough wood to build a cabin. I mean, it's a lot of wood, a giant truck full.
This afternoon, he's at a hardware store, buying wood for an upcoming DIY project. a supersized high chair.
The high chair started 2 years ago as a small project. I've been working on the plans for about a year and a half.
He's not a quick worker.
Well, can you imagine the size of the high chair?
He's putting together a chair.
I know, but I think that's the problem is every 2 months, you have to change everything because he's gaining weight. So he's got to change.
A high chair for a 300-pound guy. That's going to be some structural engineering right there.
2 years he's been working on this. All right, so he sleeps in a crib. And he really loves the feeling of waking up in a crib.
Easy to get into the baby feel while you're in it. I mean, there's nothing else like it, waking up in a crib. You wake up as a child and you can continue on from there. And it's easy to stay in the same mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy scares me.
Well, you know, stop it. Stop being so judgmental, man.
You stop it.
Come on. This is just a guy just trying to get along and have a good time, and here you are casting aspersions all over him. Have you ever woken up in a crib as an adult?
No.
Well, then how do you know? How do you know the joy that can come from that experience?
I've never had my arm cut off either. I know it would suck.
Wow, man. You're
rough. I'm just saying.
You're a cold-hearted bastard.
I'm just saying. So now he talks about when he was younger. And, you know, what he thought and what other people thought.
I started getting into it when I was about 14. The first thought is you start thinking you're crazy.
Right, and everyone else goes, you're crazy.
And no, sir.
And then you know what you should do is you should go, I'm crazy. I should change this.
No.
You know, because this isn't normal.
Right.
At least that's what you think.
Right.
And you're thinking you're the only one that's doing it. And then you get down the road and you start getting on a computer and you're like, wow, there's all these other people that are doing it.
Yeah, there's serial killers online too. It doesn't make it good just because there's other people doing it.
Oh, because the guy likes to wear a onesie.
No,
automatically you're equating him to a serial killer.
No, but I'm saying
I see how it is now.
Just because you can find other people doing it.
Wow.
Doesn't really. How dare you question my judgment
world,
of this guy?
Hard to live in your world.
He's 29.
If he were on his way to growing up, like if he would then become a toddler and so forth, and then at, I don't know, 35, be an adult, that would be one thing. But I don't think he's going anywhere. This is it.
No, the joy stops. The joy stops after two, Lisa. We all know that.
So just stay there for the rest of your life.
Stay two.
And then you find the name for it.
The name for Stanley's lifestyle is infantilism.
Infantilism.
Mm-hmm. For some people, being an adult baby is a sexual fetish for them.
Now, I had never heard that. That's a sexual fetish where they get in a crib?
That's the only way I've ever known it. I've never known a guy who didn't sexualize it. Usually, it's sexual.
However, for most of us, it's just, you know, you're doing it to relax. You come home from work and
have a beer.
You know, you change into baby mode and, you know, you put away all your adult stuff. Everything gets on hold.
See? It's freeing. It's the way to cleanse your mind, Kevin, of
when
all
you
the
come home from
trappings
work,
an adult world gives you.
Have a beer, watch TV, watch a game.
I'm sure he can have a beer. He just puts a nipple on it. That's all. Puts a nipple on the bottle. Doesn't stop.
So there's a girl on... This is on YouTube, by the way. If you want to find it, just search Taboo Adult Baby.
Okay.
And then I saw to the right of it, you know, on YouTube, there's a girl that made a response video. She was just watching it, and she was very, very troubled by it. So you could tell she went right from the TV to the YouTube and made a little video with a few questions.
You're an adult. You're like a 30-year-old man. And he's dressing in onesies. He's like this huge, like probably close to 400-pound man. He's dressing in onesies. He's wearing diapers. I don't know where you find a diaper that big.
Where would you find a diaper that big? That's a good question. You'd have to have it made, wouldn't
you? The circus?
Circus
I'm guessing.
Tent?
Circus?
I wonder if the nurse changes it.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Oh, gross.
What? I'm sure she does.
What a beautiful world this
you
is.
You have to commit. If you're going to be a baby, I think you really have to play the role all the way.
You think he tries to I can't say that.
Don't say it.
Worse when he spits up on himself, that's for sure.
That's a lot of spit up.
It sure is.
Go to YouTube, search Taboo Adult Baby, and it's on Nat Geo. They do good work. And
infinite diversity, my friend.
Yes.
That's our world.
And that guy needs to be put down right
oh,
now.
Oh, come on. Put down?
That's what we're saying, right?
No, that's not what we're saying.
I thought we were saying that. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:54. This is the Kevin DeBede Show. Coming up, we have Allison Hayslip in the studio. Very excited about that. We have Jesse James coming up. We also have Andy Samberg a little bit later on talking about The Lonely Island.
Awesome.
New CD just came out on Tuesday and is fantastic. So that's all coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph is here and it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat.
Congratulations to Ashton Kutcher. Looks like he's the new star of 2.5 Men. So when do you think exactly they're going to ask you to come back, Charlie? Do you think it'll be I don't know, this week, next week? Because I know you said it was an 85% chance that you're going to be back on the show, so I was just wondering when that would be, Charlie.
What's that going to be?
Still winning?
He was telling people 85%, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll be back. They need me. Yep. I'll be back on the show. Winning. Duh. Doing the show. Doing it. Gnomes. Trolls.
I'm sorry, man. I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips.
Yeah. Well, it turns out you're not the only poet in Hollywood, because apparently Ashton Kutcher has the same magic that you do. Warner Brothers and Chuck Lorre announced that he will be the star of the new show, a rebooted version of Two and a Half Men. John Cryer returning as well. So I'm happier for John Cryer than anybody else in this equation.
Me too. He's the best guy.
He is the sweetest guy in the world, and he's had a long, hard road to hoe with TV series, and he finally gets a hit, and then this douchebag has to pull the rug out from under him. So I'm hoping it goes a couple more seasons, and they pay John well so he can finish building his house.
Is it half built right now?
It is half built. It's not. It's in the same neighborhood I'm in.
Oh, really? For real? I thought you were kidding.
My wife and I walked the dog by there all
That's
the
so
time.
Funny.
We're like, oh, I hope he has another couple years because they still need to get some work done on this place.
Like walls at a roof?
Yeah. Well, they're getting there.
All right.
Megan Fox.
Yes.
Has decided to remove one of her tattoos. That should make Dave the King of Mexico very happy.
Oh, I don't like tattoos on girls. It's ugly.
He says it's a deal breaker. We don't believe him.
I would never have sex with a girl with tattoos
because
they're horrible.
I believe that he doesn't like them. I don't believe for a second that he wouldn't have sex with
them. I would never, ever touch a girl with tattoos.
Right, sure.
Or tatas.
She's got Marilyn Monroe on her forearm.
Right.
Which, by the way, looks nothing like Marilyn Monroe. It's a really bad representation.
Yeah, it looks like I drew it.
And maybe she's starting to realize that. She's having it removed. She's having that one lasered off. It's going to be a lot of work. It's a big-ass tattoo on her forearm. But I think she wants Dave. That's what it is. She's finally making the move for Dave. Marley Matlin from Celebrity Apprentice is in a bit of a trouble this week. Turns out the IRS came a-knocking, and she owes Uncle Sam $50,000 in unpaid taxes. But she's already working on plan to pay off the debt. She told People Magazine, I'm paying it back. I'm not shying away from it, and I'm certainly not ashamed of it. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. No, it just means you got caught.
No, you know, is it just me, or does it sound like a lot of people are in the news for owing the IRS, like they're stepping it up because we need money?
We're in such a deficit.
Could be.
We got
every week you
have shake down everybody.
Somebody else is in trouble with the IRS. They owe them back taxes or whatever.
And listen, a lot of these people have business managers and stuff, and they're very far removed from their money. So they're not. I know ultimately they're responsible for paying their taxes, but there's so many steps in between them and the IRS that it's not surprising to me that things get screwed up sometime. In fact, Marley said that.
They sent Texas. I thought it was Texas. The state of Texas.
So it's not really her fault.
Where was that dude?
She doesn't hear so good.
Where was the guy?
Gary.
This does the hand thing.
They want you go to Texas. He was just effing with her, and next thing you know, she's not writing any checks. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rob Pattinson, 25 years old today, star of Water and Elephants. Water for Elephants.
Water for Elephants.
That smash hit movie that everyone's lining up to see with him and Reese Witherspoon.
Did that come and go?
About the circus.
It's still out there.
Did that come and go?
It opened last weekend, I think.
A couple of weekends.
Made $7.
That's not enough, is it?
Not enough.
These days, I don't think $7 will do it.
I agree. So maybe he'll think twice about mouthing off about how hard it is to be a movie star.
Do we have time for Family Guy's version of Twilight?
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
There you go. So that's brief synopsis if you missed the Twilight films. Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish, 45 years old today. Stephen Colbert of The Colbert Report celebrates his 47th birthday. Dennis Rodman is 50. Stevie Wonder celebrates his 61st birthday, and Harvey Keitel, one of the great film actors of our generation, 72. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jesse James coming in studio in about an hour, talking about his new book, American Outlaw, and we have Andy Samberg coming in talking about The Lonely Island. Right now, we have Allison Hayslip back in our studios. Hey, Allison.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. It's early.
It is early.
That's true.
This is not your time of day?
No.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we get bands in here sometimes, and they're just... like
they probably don't sleep the night before. They probably just stay up.
A lot of them don't because it's just too hard. It's just the opposite of their schedule, so it's really difficult. But so sorry about that. But thank you for coming in.
Of course.
You have 17 jobs. What are you?
I know exactly.
Like you're not up at this time anyway.
Yeah, she really is.
Still on Attack of the Show.
Yes.
Okay. And are you hosting American Ninja Warrior?
Well, it's myself, Matt Eisman, and Jimmy Smith, the same team from last year.
Okay.
So I'm the one who's on the sidelines with the actual athletes. You know, either they're soaking wet when I interview them, or they're victorious.
How many are victorious, though? I've watched that show.
A very, very small percentage.
Let's explain to people who haven't seen Ninja Warrior.
How do you explain Ninja Warrior? It is this massive obstacle course that the Japanese created that for some reason only incredibly trained, like Olympic style athletes can complete. They've had 26 seasons of the show in Japan,
oh,
and
wow,
only three people have ever finished the course.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Wipeout.
Oh my God.
It's like Wipeout,
yeah,
that kind of
but
course.
People but people do serious. Complete
that. No, but it's serious.
Yeah.
It's like twice as hard, and if you make one.
I would say it's more like 50 times as hard as Wipeout.
And you can die.
And you can die?
No,
I hope
no one's
died. Yeah.
And if you make one tiny mistake, I mean, Wipeout, the idea is to fall. On this
of
show,
course,
if you make one tiny mistake, you're out. That's it. They've gone seasons without winners.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
That's incredible.
You don't take the top two, go back and take the top two and have them. If they don't finish, they don't finish, and we have no winner.
Yeah, normally you would make it easier because you think people want a winner. But
it's such a foreign concept for Americans.
It really
We're
is.
Like, we need a winner, but Japan's like, nope, you don't finish, no one wins.
Yeah.
Too bad.
You know?
And they're also way different than we are in that they're honorable.
Right.
I remember watching the show, and this dude completed the course, but his hand went up about 4 inches too high, and he grabbed a little ledge,
mm-hmm,
and the judges were like, oh, I don't know. And he got to the end of the course, and he disqualified himself.
Yeah, they do that.
It's like, what's happening?
They do that, and they will literally bow out. Like, they will stay there and take their bow and be like, I'm out. You
I'm
know?
Sorry I made
wow
a mistake. Yeah, like, because it's honor.
Here, we'd sue them.
So I didn't. Do you have video of it?
Yeah,
I didn't do that.
Prove it.
So anyway, it's a fascinating show, and they do allow some American competitors.
Right.
How many
so
are
we
they?
We have American Ninja Warrior. So we're doing our own sort of baby version of the course down at Venice Beach, and we find our top 10 Americans from there, and we take them all over to Japan to do the actual course on Mount Midoriyama. So we have hundreds of people who come to these tryouts,
and hundreds who go home
soaking wet.
Unhappy. Yeah.
Yes. yeah. But we only take 10. We only take our top 10.
But they've done pretty well in the past. I mean, you watched them on the show.
This past season, the Americans actually annihilated the Japanese.
Let's not use that word
there,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry about that.
They did well in this game, though.
They did really well. They did really, really well in this game. I like it.
Now, Monday and Tuesday is when people can come down and...
Yeah, we're having open tryouts Monday and Tuesday down at Venice Beach at Windward Circle. And you have to get there early. I think registration begins at 7 a.m. and we start running the course at 9 and we go all day. I mean, we literally run until the sun sets behind the ocean.
Now, your competition to find somebody is not going to be kind of as hardcore as it is in Japan for the tryouts, right?
Right.
I mean, we have to find the best competitor to send over, so maybe they don't
Right.
complete the course entirely or whatever.
Exactly. Well, I'd say we normally have, I think, around 300 or 400 people try out, and only maybe like 60 people finish the course in America.
Even finish it,
yeah. So then we get our top 10 from there, and we have yet to have an American finish the Japanese course.
Even finish it in last place? Just not finish. Yeah.
I mean, people don't finish the course.
That is crazy.
And they shoot that show in Japan all in one day. They start running those people at 10 a.m., and they will go until 3 or 4 a.m. until the last person falls or someone finishes the course.
Do they really?
Yes. It's insane. It's like the longest day of my life
because
every time I go out there.
Because you look, when you watch it, you watch the guys do it, and you go, man, that's got to be so exhausting on whatever, your hand, your mm-hmm. grip or whatever. And they do it several times, it
yes.
sounds like.
I mean, these people build the obstacles in their backyard or wherever they live to train specifically for this, because there's not like a sport out there that really mimics what this course is. I mean, like, if you're a rock climber, you probably have an upper advantage. A lot of free runners do really well in this course, but you can't just be skilled in one of those. You have to train specifically for this obstacle course.
I can't tell you how hard it is.
I mean, I'm getting a picture of it.
You just look at it and you just go, wow, that's just not possible. And then you see a couple of people get through it and do it, and you go, well, that's unbelievable.
Right. And you'd be surprised, anyone finishes. You'd be surprised how much that affects the course. Like, on Monday, we probably won't have someone finish the course till midday, but then as soon as that first person finishes it, all of a sudden people figure out how to do it.
Because they're seeing what they do.
Yeah, it's like once you see that it's possible, people's mindset changes.
Right. So that makes sense. Or maybe they find if you get a running start at such and such a point, you can do that. I don't know. Do you have that backwards
wall
thing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You can't have American Ninja Warrior without the warped wall.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would die. I think we're going to take Beer Mug, though. I believe we're going to take Beer Mug on Monday and have him run.
Because you don't care if he dies.
He could die. And I think that would make us all pretty happy at this point.
That's a brave, brave decision over there, sir.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to be there?
I will be there,
Monday
and
Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday.
Show up at 7 a.m. if you want to check in.
I would show up earlier than 7 a.m. Check-in starts at 7 a.m. We're kind of like The Price is Right. Like, some people wait in line from like 2 o'clock in the morning to sign up.
But you're a lot more attractive than Bob Barker.
Oh,
or whoever
thank
it
you.
Is close now.
Drew Carey, right?
Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Same thing.
He lost a lot of weight. He doesn't look bad.
But he did.
What are you
look
saying?
At her.
Well, she's beautiful. Okay. I'm just saying. Don't diss Drew.
I'm saying Drew Carey doesn't look like her. I stand by that.
Okay, fine.
How dare you? You also are looking for people that don't have jobs, right?
We
because
are?
The competition is Monday and Tuesday from 7 a.m. to...
I was like, is that a requirement?
From 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yes. So call in sick to work.
I got it.
And then when you show up on TV in Japan, you can tell your boss and he'll understand.
Then they'll know and they'll be fine.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? I think if you win a trip to Japan to run that course, any boss would be okay with that.
Yeah. It seems it's a fascinating show. I found it through my kids. My kids loved it. They were watching it and they were like, we have to watch it. We have to tape it.
It's addicting.
It really is. And they show it on G4 all the time. Past seasons they show all the time.
Right.
And that was cool when I used to get G4.
Oh, no, DirecTV.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yep.
I remember getting that. I remember seeing some of the stuff on there.
You're like back in the day, back
Attack
in 2010.
Back in the good old days when we used to have G4. I sure wish they'd get that worked out. I know there are more people without it. I mean, with it than without it, but...
Oh, that's still being worked on.
Yeah, that's a bummer. All right, so American Ninja Warrior, open tryouts. Monday, you register at 7. You might want to spend the night.
Yes.
Sunday night. The competition is from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and there's more info at g4.com.
G4TV.com.
G4TV.com.
Yeah.
I don't read well.
Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed
I'm like,
that.
I think that's our website, unless they changed it.
G4TV.com/ANWTRYOUTS. So tryouts.
I have no idea where that website was going. I was like, there's more letters after A and W.
Tryouts, yeah.
Tryouts,
yes.
Got it.
So we'll put a link up at kevinbean.com as well if you'd like to try it out. And then and Beer Mug's going to go do it on Monday. We're going to videotape
awesome.
It.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's going to be good.
I'll interview you when you're soaking wet.
Yes.
And
when you're covered with paintballs.
Paintballs? Who's bringing the paintballs?
No one?
Oh,
did I say paintball? I didn't mean that.
Nope.
Allison Hayslip is here. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Allison Hayslip is here, and we've been talking about American Ninja Warrior. They're having open tryouts on Monday. I wanted to play a little of the trailer. I forgot to at the first, just to kind of get an idea of what.
Over the past 12 years, 2,500 athletes have attempted the Ninja Warrior course.
All have died.
Only 3 have ever succeeded. But now, the question is asked. Can any American conquer the course? American Ninja Warrior, only on G4.
So 25,000.
2,500.
2,500.
There's a little difference.
3.
Yes.
3.
3 have made it.
Wow.
And one, there's Nagano, who's a fisherman. I mean, he literally lives on a boat like 200 days a year or something like that and trains on a boat. And
He's won like 3 or 4, hasn't he?
He's won 2, I believe.
Wow.
He's super
That's
impressive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there one time when he missed, if he had literally one more second on the clock, he would have won again. Yeah, that's heartbreaking, especially, like I said, since you're there till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You want to see someone win, and to get that close, you're like, ugh. I mean, sometimes people don't even make it to the last stage in Japan. There's 3 separate stages. sometimes you just never see anyone do the last stage.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's so weird to then just end the season. You go, hey, but so there's no winner? What? I don't understand. What are you doing with The Voice?
Aha, The Voice.
Yes.
I am the social media correspondent for The Voice, or as they call me on the show, the V correspondent.
And the V correspondent.
The V, I know. I'm going to be living in a place called the V Room when we go live in June, and I'm like, really? The Vroom? That's where they're putting me?
Wow.
Yes. But I'm basically doing all the backstage and behind the scenes interviews, and I'm trying to bridge the gap between the audience and the show, like giving the audience a look inside the show
so they can
really get to know who the artists are and who the coaches are and things like that.
So explain Blake picking Patrick over Tyler.
Oh my gosh.
Explain that.
It is so interesting that people reacted so strongly to that choice, because if you were there live that day, Patrick seemed like the obvious choice.
Really?
Yeah, not that Tyler did a poor job at all. It was just like watching it live, you just kind of went,
it's
Patrick. Yeah, and I'll admit, when I watched it on TV, I definitely thought Tyler had the upper hand.
Is that the way they edited it? It must have been.
And maybe it's just, because
Patrick looked boring.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And Tyler's a little odd, the way he moves and stuff,
he's an incredible singer. He's also a fantastic person. He's one of my favorite people that they've had on the show
That broke my heart. Yeah. Blake is tarnished.
Hey, Lisa.
We're having girl talk over here.
Take it easy.
Hey, people are watching The Voice.
Yeah,
yes.
You can email about it. we had Carson in, and I mocked him.
Carson.
And then I was on vacation, and I was in a hotel, and it came on. I thought, well, I don't watch American Idol. And what I realized is Carson is really a good host.
He is.
And it made me realize how bad Ryan Seacrest really is. I really had forgotten, because he's just been doing it and you just sort of accept that he's okay. Then you watch somebody like Carson and you go, wow, he's way better. And the show's pretty interesting. Yeah. But I do have to ask you about one person. It's CeeLo Green.
CeeLo.
He's a black wee man, isn't he? His arms.
He's lovely.
Yes.
Apparently the LA Times the other day wrote an article calling him T-Rex.
He's got little T-Rex.
Aww, yeah. Come on.
Listen, I love CeeLo. This is going to sound like I don't, and I'm just trying to back up. I love him. I love the music. I love his voice. But he does have some weird little arms.
You know,
what's going on here?
He tweeted the other day, just a couple weeks ago. This doesn't have to do with his arms.
With his toes?
No, he right? He's incredibly ambidextrous. His head or his skull is 2 pounds heavier than it should be for some reason, and it's giving him back problems because of it. And I was like,
what happened?
I have no idea. I mean, CeeLo,
different parts of his body grow, the other parts don't.
I have no clue, but all I can say is that he is one of the coolest dudes that I have ever talked to. He is so chill and laid back, and he plays Xbox in his dressing room
Sweet.
When we're not on set. I don't care if he has short arms.
I'm just saying, he has short arms. It's just, I was watching one night and he had one of those giant watches on, you know, and I was just thinking to myself, how is he even holding up that watch?
Right.
Really? And then he reached for the button and he couldn't quite get there.
I made a joke because he has like crazy necklaces on, and I was like, did you get those at Claire's? And he's like, nope. And I'm like, one of those necklaces could probably buy a Claire's franchise.
Yeah,
so
probably
true.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a little bit of money. But that show, way better than I thought it was going to
be. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it surprised a lot of people.
Actually, I had to call Carson and go, sorry.
Sorry. Call him. He works like two doors down from you.
I'm sort of a dick to you. Sorry about that. So Attack of the Show is on 7 o'clock, G4, weeknights.
Yes.
How often are you on that? I don't get it anymore.
What? Oh,
you don't get it anymore.
Right. I'm on sporadically because I'm literally working on 3 TV shows right now. So for Attack, I'm really doing the field packages. So they're on once, twice a week. I do a lot of the junkets for the movies and things like that. And then my How to Be a Badass packages, where I shoot guns and drift cars and do general awesomeness
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're sort of a dude. You're a hot girl that's a dude.
Yeah. I've been described that way a lot.
Yeah. On The Voice, you're going to be
Texting, rotary
social
dialing
media?
Phone calls,
social media.
Yeah, social media. I'm blogging. I'm tweeting.
Okay.
So where do we go to see what you're doing?
NBC.com/The Voice.
Okay.
You can see hours and hours of footage that I've taped there, and you can see my blogs and my tweets and all that. And I live tweet during the shows. I live tweet during the East Coast feed. Because if I did both feeds, that's like almost 5 hours of tweeting, and my brain would explode.
It's 2.5 hours.
Well, it was 2 hours, and if you think about it,
I would have had to live tweet 2 hours East Coast, 1 hour for Central Time, and then 2 hours for East Coast or West Coast. So
your thumbs would fall off.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You don't want to get hurt.
Or my
doing the
eyes
voice.
Would fall out of my head.
You really don't want that. The Voice is on Tuesdays at 10 on NBC. And then the American Ninja Warrior open tryouts are Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th. And for that, I'm going to try and give this website a little bit better this time.
Yes.
www.g4tv.com/ANW, which is American Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
ANW tryouts.
Yes. So, you win.
There you go. Do I win just by doing that?
You
fantastic.
Win. Like fourth winner of Ninja Warrior.
Do I get to go to Japan?
Yeah. Right.
That's the best.
Actually, I should say that if an American finishes the course in Japan, they get a $500,000 endorsement deal from K-Swiss this year.
Automatically?
Automatically.
If they, just if they finish.
If they finish, but no one's finished. So it's like
pretty easy for them to offer that.
K-Swiss might be okay in this deal, but if they don't, they have the first American to ever finish that course in Japan.
That's crazy.
I know.
We don't have anything here that's that challenging.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You have to make it within reach so that you get a winner. That's our whole mindset.
Yeah.
Their mindset is, no, we don't.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the show is still going on in Japan because of the popularity it has here in the States. Because it's been on for, 26 seasons?
Yeah.
Like, Japan gets it by now, but it's because we're so obsessed with it that they keep doing it.
Yeah, we don't have anything like it.
No.
But if you want to try out, good luck.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll good interview luck. You when you're wet.
You'll be there. We're gonna have Beer Mug run the course.
Run the course.
Well, crush it.
He's gonna crawl around the course.
Okay. I'm excited to see your costume, dude.
Yeah, we talked about that during the records. He is gonna have to have a Speedo. I think an American flag Speedo.
Mm-hmm. Classy.
And a headband. That's
yes.
it.
I like the goggles, though.
Goggles is good.
Yes.
And flippers.
I better start working out.
Yeah, start working out now. You've got 2 days. Go.
Allison Hayslip, you are the best.
Thank you.
Love having you in. Thank you. I was on vacation last week, and I went to Las Vegas and got in a poker tournament. And
by poker tournament, you mean whorehouse?
I wish. Oh. No, it was a poker tournament.
Oh, okay.
And I like the poker. I like to play. And you watch on TV every once in a while, and you see somebody throw a fit. You know, when they lose, they start yelling.
But rarely, because that's truly bad, bad form.
It really is.
Only an a-hole would really behave like that at a poker game.
That's correct, yes.
So keep your cool.
And I would think the same thing. I always go, well, man, what an ass.
Yeah.
It's just a game. Take it easy. So I was playing for, I don't know, 8 or 9 hours. And
which is good in a tournament, because usually you can be out of there in 15 minutes sometimes.
Quite easily. I was doing well. But, you know, you kind of start losing concentration a little bit, me more than most.
What?
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe.
But I don't drink. So it's not like I was getting...
What happened now?
I said I don't drink.
You don't drink.
I didn't mean I don't drink. I don't drink when I play poker.
Oh.
Okay. So it wasn't like that, but I was just kind of taxed a little bit, and I was tired and had been there all day.
Plus,
so,
for you, 9 hours without a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, your system must have gone into shock.
So I had a king and a two, and I played it. That's, if you know poker, that's not a very good idea for the most part. And the flop came king 2-9. So I got two pair right off the bat, and I'm like, this is awesome.
That's great.
I have two pair. I'm gonna stick. And so the guy that was in first
celebrate
place.
By having another drink, you thought to yourself.
No, I didn't have any drinks.
Okay, all right, yeah.
When I'm playing poker, I'm concentrating. Ralph, you got to read the table. You got to read
when
the situations.
You work. There's no situation where you don't drink. You drink when you're live on the air, you get loaded. You expect me to believe you're not drinking in Vegas sitting at a gaming table?
Yes.
Oh, liar.
So, so I think I have two pair, and I'm gonna bust this guy. This is gonna put me in first place. So I go all in. I'm hoping the guy will call me because I have two pair.
Strong.
So, Jack of Hearts comes out, a two of Hearts comes out, and I got two pair, and he's all in. I'm all in, and he turns over a flush.
Hearts.
Yeah.
Five hearts.
Yep.
Wow.
And I lost.
You
it.
Spilled your drink.
Now I don't lose it. I wasn't drinking.
Okay.
I don't lose it all that often. I'm a pretty even-keeled guy. When I go to Vegas, I'm pretty even-keeled. When I play poker, I'm pretty even-keeled. But right. I was, for some reason, I don't know, I was channeling...
David Hasselhoff?
No!
Oh, okay.
What's that? Why do you keep saying that?
Because you're a drinker.
I got angry. I got really mad. And I had an outburst. And I never do this. And I yelled, crap!
But the other, it was a bad beat. It was a bad beat.
But the other word... And the whole room turned and looked. It was that loud. And then the guys at the table tried to say stuff to me, and I was so angry.
so mad, so disappointed. I'd been playing for 9 hours, and now this happened. And I turned around, I grabbed my sweat jacket, and I just stomped out. And people were trying to talk, and I was just like ignoring them all. I was just being a giant douchebag, just a big baby.
What an a-hole.
And then I heard somebody from the tournament go, "Sir, sir." And I was like, F you. I'm not going back. I don't know. They want me to sign something or whatever just right. for taxes. Or I don't care. That just is so, sir, sir. And he finally caught up with me, and then he said, you won. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you had a full house. And I said, king, two. Yeah, and he said, there was a king and two twos on the board. So you had a full house. So I won the hand.
So when they flipped the last card, you actually had a full house when it was all said and done.
Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention to
that. Oh, I see.
So then I had to go back and do the walk of shame, which is, hey, room that I just scared.
Remember when I was an asshole 30 seconds ago?
Sorry about all that. And everyone at the table, of course, was it was even harder because then... because not only was I an a-hole, but I won all those chips.
So you were a wrong a-hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they pushed them all over. I was like, Hey guys, how's it going? Sorry about that whole thing a second ago.
How embarrassing.
I have all the chips now, and I'm really sorry about that. So,
do you think you would have behaved so poorly if you weren't drunk?
I wasn't drinking.
If you were sober, if you hadn't been so drunk, do you think maybe you would have noticed what the fifth card was?
I don't.
And how you won the hand?
But I don't get that way even when I drink.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I do sometimes.
Were you super drunk?
No, I wasn't drunk at all. I don't drink.
Oh, you weren't drinking at all?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
You have to have all your faculties, Ralph, so you can sense things. You got to read people.
Obviously, you're sharp as a tack. I can see why you wouldn't drink, because you had your wherewithal.
It was so embarrassing to walk back into that room and sit down at that table again. Yeah. So embarrassing.
You know what's even more embarrassing? For you to claim that you weren't drunk.
I wasn't drinking! I don't drink.
For you to lie to everyone.
I don't drink during a poker tournament, dude.
Well, sadly for you, we have evidence to the contrary. One of the people at that table apparently recorded the whole thing. And the Kevin and Bean microphones were actually there. We've got some tape that he sent us when he heard about the story.
One of your dummied up
No,
BS.
This is you at the table, the whole thing captured on audio tape or digital audio file. And they sent it over, and I think you had a couple drinks. I'm just judging by how you sound on the tape. It sounds to me like you had a couple drinks.
Let's listen.
Let's listen.
We probably.
I'm going to go all in. I'm happy because I have two truths and K's. I have two K's. Those no cause no help me. And those cards don't help me neither. Oh, damn! You're gonna flush. Oh, Frau, you are so disappointed. I don't even need to look at the last card. It doesn't matter to me. This is bullshit. No, I'm out of here. I don't even know what cards I have. It don't matter. I'm going. I go now.
Sir,
bye.
Sir, why are you leaving? I
am so frustrated.
What?
You are a stupid head. I'm going.
Excuse me, sir.
I go now.
Sir, come back.
No. No, leave me alone. You. No.
What? Sir.
You're so stupid.
Why are you so upset?
Stop calling. It's a stupid car.
Just come back.
What?
Sir.
What is what?
Yeah. You won. You have a full house.
I for what? Oh, this is... Oh. Oh. Can I get a cocktail over here?
Maybe I had one.
I'm saying.
Maybe I had one or
sounds
two.
Sounds to me like...
Maybe a couple.
The usual Kevin.
A couple. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:56. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here for a look at the showbiz beat, and then we've got Jesse James coming in just after that.
Sure, I entertain you every morning. Sure, I bring you joy and happiness.
Let us be the judge of that.
Sure, I give you that gift.
Right.
So what else more can I do? What more can I do than to bring light and sunshine into your life every day, the way I do? What more can I do? How about passes to the world, well, not the world premiere, but an advanced screening of the new Pirates of the Caribbean film?
Yes.
That would be better.
You can bribe people, sure.
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, the fourth in the Pirates films. I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin Bean advanced screening. Oh, sure. It's just the movie. Oh, no, wait. It's on IMAX. Oh, no, wait. It's in 3D.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I haven't even asked the question yet. I'm still pumping up. Oh. I'm still selling. I'm still the hype man, yo.
IMAX 3D.
IMAX 3D advanced screening.
I've never seen IMAX 3D. I've seen a lot of 3D, but not IMAX.
I saw The Dark Knight in IMAX 3D.
Ooh, sweet.
That was an experience.
He's terrific.
He's terrific.
I heard from Larry King behind me. Pirates of the Caribbean.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Come on. On Stranger Tides. I want to give these tickets to a true Pirates of the Caribbean fan. I don't want to give them just to some Joe Blow who goes on welfare.
Wow.
Like the situation's dad.
Oh.
I'm going to give them to somebody who knows their stuff. Let's ask this question. Pirates of the Caribbean.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Remember that film?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the one where the ship flipped upside down?
The Kraken, yeah. Remember all that good stuff?
That was cool.
Remember Tia Dalma, the witch doctor in that film?
Crazy Eyes. She gave
Captain Jack Sparrow that jar of dirt to protect him from Davy Jones.
Yep.
Yeah. Who did she turn out to be? Who did Tia Dalma actually turn out to be? We find out in that film. Who is she really?
Who did she turn out to be?
Yeah, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you know the answer. First five callers to get through, win a pair of passes. The advanced screening of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. This is interesting. Ashton Kutcher will be replacing Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men.
Had that been even discussed or
not?
Not
even
or,
a little bit.
Not a bit, right?
Hadn't even heard a hint
Me either.
About this. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that Hugh Grant was in the running, but pulled it out in the last minute.
Damn.
He seems like he may have been a little better, but...
Hugh Grant, me personally, I would prefer to see him
but
on
if
the television.
He doesn't get back to him. I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Negotiations break down all the time, yeah. And their go-to guy, the second guy in line, apparently was Ashton Kutcher. He's making a huge payday for taking over the lead in that show. No word on his exact salary, but I guarantee you it'll make him quite comfortable for some time.
Sure.
And no... Here's the oddest thing. No reaction from Charlie Sheen yet. Hasn't tweeted a reaction, hasn't said anything, no press release, nothing.
Is he still alive?
No, that's a good question. someone may want to go knock on the Sober Valley Lodge and see if Charlie's still up and around. But he made such a public display of the fact that it was 85% sure they were going to beg him to come back and the show was nothing without him. And now that they've recast, now what's he got to say?
I'm done. It's on. Bring it.
All right. That's what he has to say. Dan Aykroyd was the victim of a crime this week.
What happened?
Apparently someone stole 21,000 bottles of his Crystal Head vodka from a warehouse. You know he makes his own vodka now.
I didn't know
Crystal
that.
Head.
Okay.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it comes in a giant glass skull bottle.
Cool.
How do you not have that?
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, Kevin never actually sees the container the booze comes out of. He doesn't wait that long. He just closes his eyes and just pours it down his throat.
I have 21,000 bottles is what I have.
What? Yeah, got ripped off to the tune of 21,000 bottles of the vodka. He sent an official statement saying that he and his partners don't condone any criminal activity, but they're happy that some consumers will be afforded the opportunity of tasting Crystal Head vodka at a significantly lower than retail price, he said.
100% discount.
That's a sense of humor.
It really
That's
is.
That's something I can get behind. And speaking of senses of humors, if that is such a thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Hear about Matthew Perry heading back into rehab.
I didn't hear
that. Yeah, going back to rehab.
Oh, what a bummer.
Said he needs a little support for his sobriety, so he's going to head in for a month-long program. And he ended the statement by saying, "Have fun making fun of me on the internet," he said in his statement.
So, yeah, you sort of have that. Kind of comes with the territory now, doesn't it?
It does. Sadly, can't do anything without people taking shots at you. But at least he recognizes it and sort of had a sense of humor about it and said, "All right, have at it. This is what I got to do.
Everybody go.
I'm telling you first, so go nuts." Do we have an answer to my trivia question? I think Anthony on line 4 perhaps was the first one to call in with the correct answer. Anthony?
Good morning.
Who was Tia Dalma in reality?
She was Calypso.
Calypso!
Calypso.
Oh, that's a great scene in the ship where she becomes the 50-foot woman. It's awesome.
And then she turns into crabs.
Ah, that's right, yeah. I had a girl like that once. Took her out the next morning, she turned into crabs.
Sure don't want to hear that story.
Okay. Congratulations, you're going to see the advanced screening of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, okay?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Congratulations also to Ruben and Deborah and Chase and Cody. You guys are all winners. You're going to see the special advance screening. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stevie Wonder celebrates his 61st birthday to you. What did I say to you?
To you. I don't know. It didn't make sense.
You know what I was thinking as I was reading his birthday? I was thinking of the Stevie Wonder song.
Happy birthday to you.
And it all came out at once.
Remember when I was announcing the Grammys back way back when?
Sure, yeah.
Stevie Wonder was up for like 30 of them. And they would walk in every 5 minutes and go, all right, he's got 24. And then they'd come in and go, all right, he's got 25. Nah. Like they were going on someplace else. 26 now. You got to change your script. 27. It was just the weirdest thing.
It's like a telethon.
Yeah.
For awards. Let's go to the Stevie Wonder. Board. 61 years old today. Harvey Keitel is 72. Dennis Rodman turns 50 today. Stephen Colbert is 47. Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish, he is 45. He's now a country western singer.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I just told you. They'll take anybody
That's
over
the
there
way to do
country
it.
Western. Robert Pattinson is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jesse James, America's most notorious outlaw. Raised on the streets of Long Beach, he forged a career out of iron and fire to become the world's most recognizable gearhead. You know him as the star of his own TV show and the head of the motorcycle empire, West Coast Choppers.
Jesse joins us in the studio. How are you today, Jesse?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Been reading your book this week. It's so fascinating.
Oh, yeah?
You realize how little you know about public figures. We've had you on before. We've talked a bunch
of times.
Quite a bit.
Only like 10 times.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't know about your childhood, and I didn't know all that stuff that you go into about how, you know.
I don't think you wanted to know about it.
I did. That was fascinating.
you mentioned a little bit. I remember you talking about it bit in the past.
Oh, you mean you tried to bring it up and we didn't care?
No, yeah, I was looking for help from you guys.
Oh, sorry.
Turning your back on me.
Reaching out.
Oh, man. You can't really count on us.
Bean was there to help me always, but you guys kind of.
How dare you? But it was fascinating because. You know, you didn't have a lot of supervision and you would steal stuff. And I thought it was the part of it that was so funny because you were menacing and big is that you used to steal stuff and just look the guy in the eye and just go, what are you going to do?
Radio Shack, man.
I'm going to walk up. I'm going to take this item right here. Yeah. And I'm not going to pay. You wouldn't say it, but you just look at him and just go, all right.
Man, I feel so bad about all that stuff. It's terrible. Like I can't even believe, like. I don't know. I still remember the look in the guy's eye. Like, you know, I'm this big old, like, pissed off, pimply faced kid.
Yeah.
And, like, walking out with a stereo, and it's like, I'm just, like, browbeating that guy. No, you're not going to do anything. You're going to get your ass beat. And, like, man, I feel so bad now. Maybe that's what getting aging and maturing at the same time brings you. Because I would imagine there's people out there that do that stuff and don't feel bad, like some of my friends.
Of course.
But me, man, I feel really bad.
It makes you a better person.
the more you look back, you just go, I'm glad everyone doesn't know all the things I did.
All the things I did.
Did you think about not putting some of it in? Did you put everything in?
I could write two more books with the stuff that didn't make it in, you know, and stuff that, like... We kind of tried to tell a story and have it, you know, in semi-chronological order, you know, as much as we could and, you know, be like a page turner, a good book to read. But man, there's a lot of stuff that there's probably some stuff I don't want in there, but there is some stuff that's like really, really good. But it kind of, you know, when I started laying everything out for the book, you know, it became like a whole pages and pages of vignettes, you know, all these small stories that didn't really tell a story. So I don't know, maybe we'll write another one and just have, like, you know.
I'd like to hear only the stuff you don't want us to know. I like that book. Yeah. This is the stuff I don't want you to know, and then you write that. The book starts in a very fascinating way, which is the paparazzi is following you after your marriage so publicly went south, and you've got your kids in the car and you're trying to protect them, and you're so mad at the paparazzi because they're now involving your kids. And that was fascinating because you just don't think about that sometimes.
I think people
had to shield her to get her to class.
Yeah, and they're like shouting crazy stuff at me, you know, like women paparazzi working for tabloid TV shows calling me a Nazi in front of my 6-year-old daughter and stuff like that. And then I'm just like looking at the lady like, okay, really? That's like, you know, if I did that to you in front of your kids. But I think like
they don't ever change their behavior if your kids are there ever?
No.
Really?
No, because they know it's going to make me madder. And then if I haul off and like smack one of the dudes or something,
then it's gold.
Then it's like, yeah, jackpot. Yeah, wow. I just hit the paparazzi lottery, you know? Like,
did you have to have a lot of talks with your kids and say, this is what they're doing, this is why they're doing
well,
it?
Well, I think actually reading it in the book, it sounds really hectic. And it was hectic at times. And the kids, but we always made a game of it, you know? And the kids know me pretty well and have ridden in the car with me a lot. And they're like, Dad, why aren't you ramming their asses? You know, like, you know, they're like, lose them, Dad, ditch them, ditch them, ditch them. And I'm like, no, you know, I can't really do that because if they film it and I'm going 130 miles an hour with you and you're in the car, then I'm a bad dad, you know, so I have to like be cool. But the second, like, I drop them off at school and the second they get out, man, it was like I would crack my knuckles. All right. It's on. Let's go. Let's see. And it was funny trying to watch those guys because they're all, you know, kind of, I mean, paparazzi are all, some of them are cool, but most of them are like losers that had a camera. Like, well, I can't be a professional photographer, so I'm just going to
follow
stalk
people, around.
People and try to get them, you know, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And so putting them in a car, and it's funny because they all started off in like crappy like Priuses and stuff, and then after they were day after day of them getting ditched, then you could tell like the agencies they worked for started putting them in like
they
okay
stepped it up.
Yeah, we better put them in a Lexus, you know, like and like so many of them wrecked their cars. And since I race off-road and race a trophy truck down in Mexico,
and you know the area down there so well,
oh yeah, I know it like the back of my hand, you know. And it's like they're never ever gonna, you know, be able to chase me down or whatever. But I always would take them to construction sites and stuff and go just fast enough to let them think that I was trying to outrun them,
right?
But and let them, you know, think that yeah, we're keeping up with them. And then I would hit go into like a dirt lot or something and get them all bunched up behind me and then just nail the gas, because I know from driving trophy truck that driving in the dust, it's lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot see anything. And they crash so many cars. It's like
awesome.
Wonder how many cars were crashed because of you.
I
hope a lot.
One day it was like five or six at once.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I could hear them like smashing into each other. It was so awesome.
This is the last question I'm
asking. I mean, I really feel bad.
Yeah, you do about that. This is the last question I'm going to ask about the marriage. What percentage would you guess is accurate that the public has of what happened? What percentage would you guess is accurate? Or is it mostly misunderstood, or is it?
I would say probably maybe 10% is accurate.
And 90% is not accurate?
Yeah.
Wow. That's rough.
Well,
that's rough. And
it's kind of commentary on our society. You know, people like feed off the negative, and you know, if it makes people feel better to like use me as like a scapegoat for whatever pain they're in or whatever they're going through, whatever, fine. You know, I don't really, they can spew all kinds of hate at me, and you know, and that stuff, you know, tabloid media and you know, tabloid print and all that stuff, that's just a business.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or I did something horrible that thousands of people haven't done. It just means that, like, hey, people are interested to see how bad I am, so they're going to keep printing and repeating it and double dipping on that story over and over again because they make money off of it. They're not there.
It's an 8-month story.
Yeah, and the sad thing about all that stuff is there's, like, mainstream news outlets like San Francisco Chronicle and Newsweek and stuff that are quoting, like, you know, gather.com and stuff like that. It's just like,
oh, no, I can tell you about that because we know legally, as long as someone else says it, you're fine. You're covered. So it doesn't matter how ludicrous it is. You don't have to fact check or anything. You can just quote them. And
And I think
it's a BS way of doing it. But, it, you know, as long as somebody else says it first.
And I think you just have to narrow my focus and realize what's real and what's fake in this world. And like focus on, you know, man, there's so much support out there and so many people that like are cool and understand and like, hey, you know, everybody makes mistakes and we still dig you and like, man, you got to build cool bikes and all that stuff. And I think if I focus on that, which there's, you know, it's weird, like the way we are as people, like there'll be 3,000 positive comments on Twitter saying people that like stand behind me and like, you're cool, man. You're always going to be the best. And we love you and Kat together and all this stuff. And we support you, but it'll be the one dickhead that'll like, you know, I hate you and what you did is so blah, blah. And but we as people, we focus on that one negative one, you know, and I think you have to like train yourself to like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. It's like, you know,
is it all dying down now? Is it all behind you?
Yeah, everything's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like a better person, different place, have an amazing lady that like.
You do have an amazing lady.
Yep.
We love her so much. All right, Jesse James is here. The book is American Outlaw. It is a fascinating read. It's really, really fun to kind of see all the intricate details of your life and where you came from and what makes you who you are and how surprised by the success you were. You never prepared for it and all that stuff. It was really fascinating. So we'll take a break and we'll come right back with Jesse James in studio on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. Jesse James is in the studio with us. His new book is American Outlaw. You're going to be doing signing.
Yes, sir.
Here tonight and tomorrow night.
Today, this afternoon with the Marines at Camp Pendleton.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited about that.
That's around noonish, and then is it tomorrow you're doing 6 p.m.?
Tomorrow at Book Soup up on Sunset.
That's fantastic. So. Have you been doing these signings around the country?
Yeah, a little bit over the last week. They've been really cool.
And what kind of people? Cool. I would imagine cool people show up.
My kind of people.
Yeah.
Like
your peeps.
Like bikers and people wearing dirty mechanic clothes.
I found it fascinating in the book how you talked about you couldn't even conceptualize being as successful and famous as you are. Like growing up, it's not like you had that as a dream because you couldn't even think that way.
Well, I think when I played football, you know, I was really, really good and like all CIF, you know, all league, like, you know, Shrine Game, All-Star.
You said football saved your life.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah. I never ever thought about playing beyond that next weekend. It's like, yeah, we're going to go get those guys next week.
Oh, you didn't
week.
Think
I didn't ever,
even college?
Well, I think the dream of going to college and like, but pro football, even though that I had scouts from the Rams when they were here, like talking to me and visiting me at practice, I never even realized what that meant. I didn't think, like, oh, I'm going to play football. I'm a multimillionaire. No, I never. I just, like, wanted to, like, kick ass that next Friday. Like I would key in on, like, okay, you know, Cedric Crawford's the offensive tackle that I'm going up against that next week, so I'm going to kill him. And I would, like, obsess about that all week.
Is it true that they knocked you down from varsity to junior varsity because you were hitting people too hard? What was the reason?
I don't remember what the reason. There was one coach that was like a defensive coach that didn't like me, and I was obviously like a killer. And for the first varsity game my freshman year, you know, and I was better than the guy that was playing varsity.
Yeah.
And
he
put me down to a JV game the first year, or the first game of the season. They actually pulled me out of the game because I knocked out, like out cold, both their quarterbacks, the starter and the backup, and then hit one guy and broke his leg, the running back.
God.
And they're like, they had a big referee coach meeting at the middle of the field, like, okay, that number 55, you need to pull him out of the game or you guys are going to have to forfeit.
I didn't know that was a possibility that they could force the coach to pull you out.
It's kind of, I mean, I was pissed. Oh, man. I was like, I wasn't pissed that they pulled me out. I was just like pissed that I had to play with all the like little guys. You know? Like, so I'm going to go out of my way to like punish them, you know.
Let's talk about your life now. You're in Austin.
Yes, sir.
You have a bike shop there.
No, I have a custom car shop called Austin Speed Shop. We build like 40s, 50s style custom cars.
A lot of people want those. It seems like that's an endless supply, right?
Well, we've got probably close to a 2-year waiting list, you know.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, building a car is, you know, 10 times the labor of a bike. So, you know, we have one car. We're building a Cadillac that's, you know, it's got 4 years of labor in it. So.
Wow. Does a guy call you every day for 4 years and go, hey, how's it going?
No.
Still working?
No.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Still working.
What are you doing now? Working on your car.
Sure would like that car.
Yeah, yesterday. No, actually, car people, you know, are a little bit more patient than bike people.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because cars aren't so much about driving it. You know, there's a lot of, like, standing around and looking at it.
Right.
Bikes are about, you know, the bikes are amazing to ride. And you get a thrill out of it, and it, like, makes you feel good. So guys, like, really want to get it. Like, I want it for the big show this Sunday,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
So it's, like, kind of...
Listen, I can't just whip one up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. But, you know, it's usually... There's a good group of customers that I'll still probably do bike stuff for in Austin.
Why did you go to cars?
Well, I've always been into cars, and, like, I don't know, like...
Just for a change?
Yeah, pace? I mean, I opened that shop. We opened it, like, 5 years ago, and it's, like... I don't know. I kind of like to master both disciplines because I don't really know anybody that's like, you're either a biker or you're a custom car dork.
Right.
And so there's no mixing the two.
Right.
You know,
that's why I asked because it seemed like a strange choice.
But I worked for, you know, Boyd Coddington at Hot Rods by Boyd, which to me was the best hot rod shop in the world ever in the early 90s. And I worked there for a couple of years and it kind of opened my eyes because I was into cars and low riders and kind of, you know, thuggy type of stuff.
Sure.
But it opened my eyes to like, wow, these things are like immaculate. And it kind of like, okay, I want to,
let's do that for a while.
Yeah, I learned how to do that. And I think combining the two, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm going to make gun parts next or something.
Gun parts?
Yeah.
Just because you don't know how? I hate people like you. I can't do anything, and he's just changing midstream.
Yeah.
Motorcycles, cars, guns.
I have skilled hands. I need, to, like, I need to always be making something. So
Texas is a different place, isn't it? You were talking during the commercials about shooting weapons with silencers and all kinds of stuff.
It is like
85 miles.
Well, I used to go into like Turner's and Signal Hill here.
Yeah,
and like, you know, it's like so, like, you know, weird because everything's so controlled. I go into the gun store there. I'm looking over my shoulder. I feel like I'm breaking the law just being in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, oh, man, really? I can, like, and like
half of the stuff that you can buy in Austin would get you sent to jail here.
I got an automatic 12 gauge and like I got it. And since I have my concealed weapons permit, I just walked out with it when I bought it. And I'm like, really? And I almost started like trot half running. You know, like, let's get out of here before they say no.
Get away quick.
Yeah. And like Kat got me an awesome like sniper rifle for Christmas.
that's a strange Christmas gift.
A finished,
it's strange.
No.
It is strange.
That's the best Christmas gift ever. She got me a gun, like a big one, like a Finnish-made Seiko that shoots a round that's called a 338 Lapua.
I've never heard of it, but yeah. I would like to shoot it.
I just got a silencer for it. It's awesome.
Because
it was too loud for her. She got she got a little scared when I shot it.
She's the coolest person in the world, right?
Yes.
We love her.
Yes.
Every time we get pitched her, we're like, yes, sir, please, have her come in.
Whatever, yeah, come in.
Yeah, she's amazing, and she's like, I don't know, like, she came with me here today, and to have someone that would, like, want to hang out with me, how many times I've been here,
yeah.
I've always been by myself, you know, it's, like, so great to have someone that, like, really you want to go with me, like, you
is
know?
That hard to believe still, at this point in your life?
Yeah, I was talking to her in the car on the way over here, I'm like, it's so awesome that you will go with me to this stuff, you know, it's, like, just for no other reason than just to hang out with me all day.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. The book is a great read. It's Jesse James' American Outlaw. You can get it wherever books are sold. And he's going to be at Camp Pendleton this afternoon. And then tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Book Soup, 8818 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. If you'd like to get your book signed. And it's a fascinating read, and I would encourage everybody to get it. Jesse, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys, and gal.
Thanks.
Take a look inside. It's my... in a box.
We love that chronic. What goes up, Narnia?
Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
I'm buzzing dudes' mouths like gushers, motherfucker. Roll up on NBC, Inspector, they shout, Jeff Zucker.
What you want, Natalie?
To drink and fight.
What you need, Natalie?
To host for
night. In my pants.
This really never happens, you can take my word. I won't apologize, that's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance, and now I...
In my pants.
Andy Sandberg on the phone right now. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
Got to tell you, on Tuesday when the CD came out, I was late to work because I was trying to download the CD, and you know, on iTunes it gives you a guesstimate of how long it's going to take, and it says 30 seconds, and then it says 10 minutes, and then it says 4 hours, and then it says 30 seconds.
What?
So basically, I downloaded the whole thing and then got here about 10 minutes late. I was just like, it's worth the trade-off.
That is, I apologize for.
No, it's not your fault.
I think Kevin's looking for a check, Andy. I'm not sure, but I would like to get paid back if you don't mind.
No, this is fantastic. I'm glad to talk to you. I want to start by saying that I'm obsessed with Natalie Portman, and that rap was the best thing that I've ever seen in my life.
She really brought the thunder, no doubt about it.
She did. Now, this CD has a lot of new songs. It also has a lot of videos, and it has a lot of some of the videos that you've already put out.
That's correct. Well, some of them were videos we made specifically for SNL, and then there's three on there that we made from the record for SNL as well.
Some of the stuff that you do on SNL, you must be surprised that they let you do it, because it's on a it's on a network, and most of the time that stuff doesn't fly.
Well, sometimes, you know, it has to air later in the show, like the Jay in My Pants track had to be a little later in the show.
We saw that. We came in and we went, how did NBC air that? That was the best thing ever, but...
Beauty of late night.
That's the beauty of late night, isn't it?
Beauty of late night. date night. You just gotta roll it in late.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Andy. It's really hard to be funny, as given the fact that if you look around, there's not that many funny people in the world, okay? It's really hard to be musically talented, and yet you guys are able to combine them both and do a really good job at both.
I mean, deal with the devil?
I mean, it really is.
You tell us.
It really is uncommon. What's more difficult for you guys, to make great music or to make it really funny? What comes first?
Well, for us, it's always making it funny is always the priority. You know, we're comedians, and we just kind of use music as the vessel through which to deliver jokes.
Right.
But, you know, we also have gotten to a point with selling a few records that we can buy better beats. And that's a huge part of it, too. You know, a lot of pop songs, you don't even realize that people are like, oh, yeah, I just bought that song and rapped and or sang over it.
And
the song was already made.
The beat and the song are good enough that it doesn't matter what people say sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're faking it all the way to the top.
But Ralph is right. It's hard to get a combination of both. You got Weird Al and you got you. That's it.
That's about it.
That's the whole thing. I have a few tracks. One is Mother Lover. This is with Justin Timberlake. This was out last Mother's Day? No.
Last Mother's Day.
And the video is on. I'm a mother lover. You're a mother lover. Yeah, that was troubling, and I loved it. That was another one of those where I was like, what? How do these guys... I want to be in a writing meeting with you guys. I want to be in that room when somebody says, let's do a Mother's Day song where we have sex with each other's mothers, and you go, yes.
Well, the beauty of faux pop music is it makes everything palatable. Any the most disturbing concepts go down easier when you put a nice bed underneath them.
Yeah, true.
And especially if you have Justin singing it.
That's true. That helps. That does help.
That's like silk drapes.
How did you come up with Threw It on the Ground? Because... That was so odd. I just remember listening to it. I love it, but I just thought, where does that come from?
Well, the beat inspired the song because it breaks huge on the choruses. And my buddy Akiva, who's one of the two guys in the Lonely Island with me, wanted to direct a video where we used that super high-speed slow-mo, which hadn't really been used too much yet.
Right.
Now it's kind of ubiquitous. And then, so we came up with the premise of just seeing things exploding on the ground, and the character kind of developed from there, who's this sort of self-righteous idiot.
I go to my favorite hot dog stand, and the dude says, you come here all the time, here's one for free. I said, man, what I look like, a charity case? I took it and threw it on the ground.
There's something about pointless hostility that's just hilarious.
Just for no reason. Tell me about Michael Bolton. How you hooked up with Michael Bolton.
This is my new favorite.
This song came about, the weird juxtaposition of you guys and him. Tell me about this song.
Well, you know, Bolton, working with Bolton is the dream. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
We had written this track, and it was, you know, about a silky-throated singer interrupting us and talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, which, again, was inspired by the beat that, for some reason, just suddenly sounded like the Pirates of the Caribbean score.
There was a soaring break in there? Is that what happened?
Yeah, just soars. That's a perfect way to explain it.
So you guys are in a club, and then he comes in, he starts singing about Pirates of the Caribbean, and you're like, what are you doing?
Well, he just checked out that marathon, so it's on his brain.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he was the first name we came up with, and we never relented on that name. We were like, there's no way it can be anyone but Bolton, and we just kind of stalked him until he agreed.
Was it hard to get him to sign off?
Not really. He actually really wanted to do it right out of the gate, and we just had to adjust a few lyrics here and there to make sure he was comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, just towards the end.
Oh. All right. Well, I got a little clip of that, and it is really bizarre because it's you guys rapping, and then he's singing about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hands in the air and say hell yeah. Come on.
Captain Jack.
What?
Johnny Depp.
No.
Front to the back, say we count stacks. Come on.
David Jones. Giant Squid.
Michael Bolton, we're really going to need you to focus up.
Roger that. Let me try with another.
Another movie. He goes on to Scarface.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Aaron Brockovich.
He is not a good-looking guy in drag, by the way. That's not a good look for Michael.
I was saying I thought he looked like Marley Matlin.
You know what's also weird about him is that I wouldn't have picked him as a guy with a great sense of humor.
And I don't know.
He really does, though. He showed up so game and just kind of giggling through the whole thing.
I didn't know that much about him, and I guess he was on Loveline with Psycho Mike, and Psycho Mike said, you'd be surprised what a good sense of humor he has. He just never struck me that way. But
and also quite handsome.
Very handsome, yes.
He's dreamy. Marvel, as it were.
You also have the song on here and the video, I Just Had Sex, featuring Akon, which is basically...
Correct.
Well,
are you going to play the whole CD, Kevin? Is that what the whole thing is going to be?
We're going through.
Maybe I am.
We're going track by track.
I just had sex, and it felt so good. I love it, let me put my...
Yeah, so that happened. Go back. Yeah, go back. Ralph's going to mock me. I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play that song again. What do you think of that?
Go nuts.
What do you think of that? I'm going to play it again.
I just had sex.
We can't put all of it on the air, but, you know, you get a sense of it. Lonely Island.
A taster.
A little taste. Lonely Island is the name of the band. It's Andy Samberg. And how many tracks are there? There's like 15, 16
19 tracks. 19 tracks. If you buy on iTunes, there's a bonus 20th track. And it also comes with a DVD of 9 videos.
Fantastic.
It's a good deal. Turtleneck and Chain is the name of the CD. We've been laughing about it all week, Andy. Congratulations. It's hilarious.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you for coming on the show.
Healthy. Vaccinate.
Jack Sparrow.
That dude. He's the captain of what ship? What's the name of his ship? He's the captain of the ship. What is the name of his ship? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. The first 5 callers win a pair of passes. Just that easy. Congratulations to Ashton Kutcher. He's the new star of 2 and a Half Men. Warner Brothers and the show's creator Chuck Lorre got together, recast, and rebooted 2 and a Half Men with Ashton Kutcher in the lead. No word on exactly what his salary will be, but sources tell The Hollywood Reporter it will be a huge payday for Kutcher. So,
is he going to come in like as a relative, brother, or
nobody knows how they're going to work him in? Chuck Lorre, the creator himself, has written the story that introduces Ashton's character, but they're not quite sure what it's going to be. There had been some speculation that the mother, Holland Taylor, who plays the mom of the boys on there, is going to remarry, and perhaps her stepson will have to move in with John Cryer or something. I'm more interested in how they're going to explain Charlie Sheen away than how they're going to bring in the new guy, because new characters are pretty easy to introduce. Explaining away what happened to Charlie. Oh, it's a shame he got caught in that undertow here at the beach, and we never found his body. So, who knows?
That's not me.
How they're going to do off with him.
Maybe they'll just say he went crazy and went on a drug binge.
He's on tour now. He overdosed. And more TV news. Don't say I didn't warn you. Looks like NBC is passing on the Wonder Woman pilot. David E. Kelly put together the new superhero TV show Wonder Woman, starring Adrian Pilecki. And the pilot's finished. NBC looked at it and went, no thank you.
So they saw the full pilot and just said, you can take that somewhere else.
This is not really what we think Wonder Woman should be.
All right.
David E. Kelly did make her as a sort of a modern-day corporate executive who also fights crime and may not be the strongest take on the hero. People are calling it Ally McWonder Woman, if that means anything. So, passing on Wonder Woman. We won't get to see that anytime soon. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Dwight on line 2 is the first caller through with the correct answer. Dwight?
Yes.
What's the name of Davy Jones' ship?
The Flying Dutchman.
The Flying Dutchman, of course. You owe me one soul, Jack Sparrow. Congratulations. You're going to see the advanced screening before anybody else. We're going to give you all the details. Hold on a sec.
Thanks.
Okay. Say Jose.
Jose, can you see? Mike, Lauren, Justin, and Lucas, also winners, going to the advanced screening. Thanks for calling in. Today's celebrity birthdays. Harvey Keitel is 72 years old today. Stevie Wonder turned 61. Dennis Rodman is 50 years old. Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report celebrates his 47th birthday. Darius Rucker, who Kevin once blinded with a laser point.
Blind him.
From Hootie and the Blowfish is 45. And actor Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies turns 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And if you've been paying attention to the news, you've heard the situation's dad.
Oh, my God.
He's gone to YouTube and he's started talking about his son, the situation. He seems to be very upset.
How you doing? My name's Frank Sorrentino.
One of my boys is Michael Sorrentino, also known as The Situation. He created more situations for me in my life than the name he gave himself. I'm all for family, I'm all for this. Bull. You roll for yourself. And if that's the way it is, that's fine.
All right, now we got The Situation on the phone, and we thought we'd run some of his comments by him. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hey, yo.
Hey, how are you?
I'm a little bit tired. Last night I went to go see Prince. Oh, with Steve Aoki, Little John. You know, I just got home. Oh, ha ha.
Did you hear any of the clip that I just played from your dad?
No, I didn't, because Beer Mug doesn't know how to run the board yet.
Oh,
so I wasn't
come on
hear it.
Now.
You know, that's how that goes. Whatever.
You should have been able to hear it, Sitch.
Wow.
It's okay. I've been able to hear it before because I've been on the YouTubes. I've been seeing people have been telling me my dad's had a little bit of situation of his own. You know, he's a little bit frustrated. He might have some frustration. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
it sounded like he needed something from you. It sounded like he needed some money, basically.
I mean, it looks like he's preparing for a confrontation.
Right.
You know, maybe he's drank some libations.
Right.
Some relaxation. Some masturbation.
Right.
Oh. Hey, I understand. I mean, my dad and I, we had a good relationship going on in the beginning, and now the situation's made some money, and he wants a little piece of that. I understand, but it's like I tried to launch a reality show of my own for him, you know, because I'm a reality show veteran. Not only have I been on the Jersey Shore, remember I was on Dancing with the Stars, you know, and I got to tell you guys, you know, now that I have you on the air, any guy who does Dancing with the Stars, that's a douchebag. You know what I'm saying? Especially this season. I hear this season, these guys, they do Dancing with the Stars, and they forget about all the people that helped them get there, and then they just, you know, they quit whatever job they had, and then, I mean, real douchebag.
Do you remember the first guy that got kicked off?
Oh, that guy's a massive douche.
He's
what
the
a
worst.
Douchebag. I brazil a marcar os cus,
right, whatever you said.
So,
now, was your dad just asking for support because, or was he asking, I heard, medical bills? Because it seems like if he was asking for money for medical bills, maybe you could toss a little his way.
You know, he does have a little bit of a limp. He has a problem. It's kind of like gout because he has such a large brajol that he actually walks to one side. And, it, you know, hey, it runs in the family. Oh, Lisa May, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I tried to pitch a reality show for him, you know, to help him to get off the ground. It was called Gym Dad Roofie. And it was essentially me going to the gym with my dad and then him handing me roofies like a Pez dispenser to give to the ladies, you know, to get the bukiak.
And they wouldn't go for that?
No one picked it up.
That's
and then I said, hey, maybe you're better suited for a game show. And I said, how about veal or no veal? It's like deal or no deal, but my uncle, Davide, he makes the best veal parmesan. So we go to these fat broads, right?
Right.
And then we give him a chance to have the veal or no veal. And we say, have you earned it, fat broad? I don't think so. Forget about it.
So basically, you're tossing him just gold after gold, and he's turning it down?
From the makers of Modern Family comes Modern Fatty. Situation and his dad walk around looking at fat chicks making fun of him. Oh.
And no one bought that?
2.5 brajol. We take 2.5 fat broads back to our place, and next thing you know, wobbly H, kabang, kaboom.
Gotcha, oh, no.
For the animated set.
Wait a minute. Before you get to the animated thing, I just want to make sure we're clear on this. You don't want to have sex with your dad in the room.
I know. I don't want to have sex with him in the room. I've had sex with him right there in the same bed with me. We've been playing chess on a broad's back. You know what I'm saying? Doing a high five.
Man.
What am I saying here? I'm saying we make a rotisserie out of a broad with a sausage.
Unfortunately.
Next thing you know, situation rotation. You
got
know what
it.
I'm saying?
All right, let's move on. I'm sorry I asked. Sorry I asked for the details.
For the kids, you know, you want some animated stuff. Why not? From the makers of SpongeBob SquarePants comes Sponge Broad Square Ass. You know what I'm saying, Lisa May? Sometimes these fat broads, they wear the high-rise jeans. Their ass looks like a square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you go, hey, you got a square ass, fatty. Hey!
That's for the kids?
But wait.
You want some vodka?
Yeah, is that for kids?
Ayo. Come on, forget about it. From Yo Gabba Gabba comes Yo Fatty Fatty.
Yo Fatty. You seem to be obsessed with fat people.
Yeah.
I'm not obsessed with fat people. I'm obsessed with fat women because it's like a paradox. You know what I'm saying? You're a woman. You're supposed to have the nice cans, the nice barach, and then the nice, like, little tight waist. That's got a barguch. And next thing you know, you're fat.
But what about
Yo Fatty Fatty. Me and my dad, we walk around. Hey, film us. Hey, we go to the club. You want some vodka? Next thing you know, Fatty Fatty. Ha ha, look at you. You're crying.
God.
These are terrible ideas. I got
to
be honest.
The World Series of Poker. I know you like to play the cards, right, Kevin?
Yeah, yeah.
How about the World Series of Porker? We get all the fat broads together. Hey, okay. World Series.
All right.
I see where you're going with this, and I understand why your dad's upset now. I support your dad.
Yeah. And I offered him $20,000 a year to be my roofie dispenser. Next thing you know, he's got a problem with me. It's like my Uncle Davide says when he was making the veal parmesan. When the money runs out, the fighting is on. And I said, hey, yo, remember, FTD, FBI, LOL, WWJ, Deekaboom.
I'm with you on that. I don't know what you said, but... 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Afro. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic. Be glad to play some of them. There's the first one.
Hey, what's happening, party people? This is Eric. Yeah, Eric. Hey, this message is for DJ Omar Khan. I just wanted to give him props for bringing the word lop back. And that lop song was so funny. I was wondering if I could hear it again because I am part of the Omarmy. So if you guys could play that lop back song, I would really appreciate it. All right.
Omar, that sounds a lot like you.
That's not me.
Really? It sounded like
I'm telling you, the support is pouring in left and right. Emails, Afro, people are calling the business line. Yeah, it's insane.
Omar is trying to bring back the word lop, and he's done a song. I don't think that's what this is about.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin and Bean? This is Dave. And
all right, first of all, this is you.
That's not me.
And I just wanted to hear the lop back song that Omar played yesterday.
But this is the same person that called last time.
I don't know. It sounds different to me.
I just think it's phenomenal that he's trying to bring the word lop back. I think it's a genius idea, and I think you are a lop if you're not using lop. So if you could play that lop back song, I would definitely dig it.
Yeah, I would dig it too.
That sounds like him still.
That's
right?
Not me. What are you
talking
about?
People, this is Alex.
Come on. How many times did you call?
That's not me.
How many times did
that's
you call?
That's not me.
It's clearly
that's
you.
That's the Omarmy calling in.
And I just wanted to give DJ Omar Khan some props for...
You can't give yourself props.
I'm not giving myself props. That's
yes,
not
you're
me.
Calling the Afro
that's
saying,
not me.
Hey, Omar's doing good work.
I don't know what you're hearing.
Trying to bring back lop because lop... I can't believe it's been out of my life for so long, and now to hear it, especially on the radio, is just unbelievably, just magic. And I was wondering if you could play the lop back song. I think that would be the best idea in the world if you would play that song right now.
All right, Omar.
I agree.
You didn't even try to, like... disguise the way that you talk.
That's
like,
not
it's
me.
Still exactly the way
I don't know
you
what you guys are talking
talk.
About. That is not me.
See, next time you go, hey, this is Paul.
Yeah.
Try
like, write it
that's
out
not
so
me.
Smoother.
It was all clearly you.
No, it wasn't.
All right, we'll play the song just so you'll stop calling the Afro
that
line.
Was Eric, Dave, and Alex.
So any of the listeners can get through. Just as you know, if you've got the busy signal...
Can we clear him off?
Just clear. Once we clear off Omar, we'll have plenty of space for everybody else to call. So you're bringing Lop back.
That's right.
And you claimed yesterday that this is Justin Timberlake.
This is Justin Timberlake and Timberland.
All right.
I'm bringing Lop back.
Yeah.
Be a dumbass and I'll call you that.
Yeah.
To all the haters that think it's whack.
Yeah.
You are all lumps and pieces of crap.
Yeah.
Tell them it's a shiz.
The word lop. Gone for years, but it'll be on top. Gonna bring it back. No one can stop. It's the word lop. Give it a shot.
Tell them who the lop is.
Kevin Ryder.
That's who a lop is.
Beer mug in the back.
That's who a lop is.
Spencer Pratt.
That's who a lop is.
Anybody whack.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you happy?
The problem, lop doesn't roll. That's the problem. It doesn't roll off your tongue. I mean, it's
you're a lop.
That rolled pretty good.
There you go.
All right, it rolled pretty good. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, Universal City Walk. Come see us. You can go to BabbleOnKev or BabbleOnRalph.com for more details and to buy tickets. But we'd love to have you come out and see us. It's a fun show.
from what I remember. I'm usually
Ralph can drink.
I'm usually pretty loaded about halfway in. The second half of the show does get a little fuzzy.
Ralph does. There are all kinds of different drunks. There's angry drunks. Ralph does get funnier as he gets more drunk.
I hope that's true. I've
seen it many times.
I got me with a bottle in my face, and then Smith smoking like comedy large Cheech and Chong joints backstage before we go on. So between the two of us, we're quite the pair. And the whole thing starts at 10 p.m. at night. So really, by midnight,
sweet,
everyone's having a pretty good time. Let's talk about showbiz news. Wonder Woman!
When does that come out?
It's not. NBC announces they're passing on the Wonder Woman pilot that David E. Kelly put together. He was the man who gave us, of course, Ally McBeal and Boston Legal and The Practice and all those shows.
And not Wonder Woman.
And not Wonder Woman, apparently. The good news is NBC has picked up the series called The Playboy Club.
All right.
About the first Playboy Club in Chicago in 1963, and the drama revolves around the bunnies that work there and the men who love them, and yeah.
Who picked that up?
NBC.
Oh.
Yeah. Amber Heard is one of the bunnies, by the way.
All right.
And if you've seen her in her bunny costume.
I would rather HBO or Showtime had that, by the way.
Whoa. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Grimm is another series that NBC picked up. It is a cop drama set in the world in which all the Brothers Grimm fairy tales actually exist.
Okay.
So, like, what do you got, partner? Oh, these two kids, Hansel and Gretel, are missing. We got to go look for them. And then they acted like it's the real world. Fairy tales in the real world.
Hmm.
Cop drama.
Hmm.
Fascinating.
Hmm.
I love it.
Hmm.
No.
Come on. You're no fun. Harry's Law got picked up.
Harry's Law?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Is that the one with...
Speaking of David E. Kelly, Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates.
Got renewed for another season. Parenthood will be back as well.
That's
a good show.
And no word yet on Chuck, but it looks good, they say. Chuck will be returning to NBC as well. There's some good news. Congratulations to Will Ferrell, who, by the way, has a new movie coming out this weekend we had no idea existed until today. Called Everything Must Go.
It's only at some of the Lemleys. It's not.
Yeah, it's in limited release.
And I found it at the Burbank AMC.
All right.
So locally, you can see it. I believe it's in New York as well. Probably will be released to more screens as time goes.
Are you
forward.
Sure they're not trying to hide it?
Maybe, but it sounds and it looks good to me.
It I know, does.
Look, they didn't hide Land of the Lost. They're not going to hide this movie.
Wouldn't one of us have picked up on Will Ferrell has a new movie?
You would have thought so.
Huh.
But he's also receiving the 14th annual Mark Twain Prize for American Humor this year. It's going to happen at the Kennedy Center in Washington. He'll get the award on October the 23rd. So congratulations to Will. And while we're talking about awards, Vin Diesel believes that Fast Five is an Oscar-caliber film.
No.
He firmly believes that you're going to start to hear some Oscar buzz about Fast Five when award season rolls around.
All right, look.
Uh-huh.
I love these movies just because of the car driving, the stunts, the action. They're not going to get an Oscar nod in any way.
You're going to be surprised.
It's just not going to happen.
You're going to be surprised, Kevin.
I love these kind of movies, but no. You know who doesn't love them? The Academy.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. I don't know why he believes so. But
no.
Interesting. It's just a big no-filled showbiz beat today, isn't it?
Seems to fit.
Denise Richards is writing a tell-all book about her life, including her time with ex-Charlie Sheen. She's already turned it in to her publisher, so it's just a matter of time before we all get to read about the tornado of truth and what a douchebag he is.
Can you imagine him behind the scenes in a family life with her?
No, I can't imagine what a day-to-day life must have been with her. And it's funny, she has been fairly reserved in holding her tongue regarding all this stuff, and now we know why. We thought she was taking the high road. Turns out she's just saving it all for the book.
Right in the book.
Why give it away for free when you could sell it for $19.95 at Barnes & Noble? Clever lady. Angelina Jolie's got a new tattoo. Oh, I don't like tattoos. I never have sex with her because she has tattoos.
Yeah, it's easy for Dave to claim, by the way, that he's not going to have sex with Angelina
he's
Jolie.
He's passing on Angelina Jolie. Yeah. Oh, how is he going to resist the temptation?
As if she's knocking on his door. If this? She did knock on his door, he would do it in a second.
No. No, I don't even think she's pretty. She's not pretty.
Yeah, I'm not going to have sex with her either, but that's because I'm not going to have the opportunity.
The new tattoo on Angelina's body is the map coordinates for Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Okay. Okay. Is that where she was born?
No.
What's the...
Brad Pitt was born there.
Oh.
See? A little romantic gesture from Angelina.
She's probably got a backup plan in case things don't work out. And she can change it into something else. It doesn't say his name.
It's like a compass. She just turns it and goes a different direction. This is her 7th longitude and latitude tattoo.
Oh, that's the thing she does,
the
huh?
The theme. Huh. The other are inspired by her 6 children, where they were all born, so...
Okay.
Her body's like a map. I'd like to travel that
map. I would as well.
I'd like to see the topography
I would
of
as well.
That map. I would like to create a few rivers on that map.
There's a mountainous region, I know
yes,
that.
Yes, there is. Spend some time in those peaks. And since we're talking about tattoos, Megan Fox is having one of hers removed. Probably so that Dave will have sex with her. That's what I'm guessing.
No, I would not.
She's not even hot.
That's
and
a
I don't
deal
like
break.
Tattoos.
That's a deal breaker.
Life and Style Weekly magazine reports she's having her Marilyn Monroe tattoo removed. It covers pretty much the entirety of her right forearm, so it's going to take a lot of work, but she's committed to having it removed.
It sort of looks like I drew it, though. So
yeah, it's not strong. And last night at American Idol, we haven't talked about it all day. We've been remiss in our Idol update.
Can you believe? Cecilia got kicked off.
No, Cecilia's fine.
And she was the leader as far as I was concerned.
No, there's no Cecilia on the show.
Barbara.
Actually. Barbara's not
knocked it
well.
Out of the
no,
park.
No Barbara. Oh. James Durbin was given the boot, shocking the audience. Everyone thought Durbin was going to be the next American Idol.
Oh, really?
He's gone. He's the one with the rock and roll voice, the one who sings like Steven Tyler, hits all those high notes and rocks hard and sang Judas Priest this season.
Oh, yeah, you guys were
stuff.
All saying you thought he was going to win.
Really now. Strong voice. No one was more shocked than he was.
How many?
Cried like a bitch.
Oh,
sweet.
Really?
Oh, makeup running down his face like a woman.
Sweet.
And, you know, he was pretty full of himself towards the end. He was like, well, strutting out like he was a rock star and everything. So, wham! Life just slapped him down. And you can see the other contestants who cry every time someone gets booted up. They were just looking at each other going, yeah, there we go.
Sure,
here we
care.
Go. There we go.
Little justice.
There we go, superstar. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your trip back home, superstar.
So is there anyone good left?
They're all pretty good, but not for me. There's Scotty McCreery, who's a country western guy.
Oh, super deep voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lauren. Lauren Alania.
I'm sorry I asked. I don't care.
And Haley Reinhardt. Haley Reinhardt's hot.
Got it. Okay.
She's hot.
All right.
She looks like it's just a little slutty minx. Which is my favorite kind of minx, by the way.
Yeah, they are the best.
Yeah, they make the best coats, too. And a minx coat I used to wear. And Marley Matlin, as we're talking about reality television show programs, she is star, of course, of Celebrity Apprentice.
Can we just name her the winner and move on so we don't have to watch for 3 hours this weekend?
That's right. It's a 3-hour finale, isn't it?
No, it's the
lead up to the finale.
It's not the finale.
Oh, that's right. It's not even the live
finale.
They
cut it from 4 to 2 on Sunday night for 3 hours.
Oh, I'm screwed because Sunday night is also the Survivor finale, and I've been watching that this season.
Yeah.
Oh, I got 5 hours of television to watch Sunday night. Not to mention Nurse Jackie, and what else is on Sunday night?
Your Flyers are in the playoffs. That's
how
gonna be...
dare you, sir.
Oh, wait.
Anyway, Marley Matlin's in trouble with the IRS because they say she owes $50,000 in unpaid taxes from 2009.
Wow.
50 grand when it comes to celebrities isn't all that much, actually.
Yeah.
But she better hope she gets that job with Donald Trump because she's going to need the money.
I'm guessing she has it.
You think?
Yeah.
Marley, do you have a plan to pay back the taxes to Uncle Sam?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I'm going to work really hard and then give him all my money.
Quite a plan. What are you going to work hard at?
Acting.
What?
Acting.
Yacking?
Acting, I believe you said.
I'm doing comedy.
Somebody's got a mouth of ice cream she's trying not to spit out. Today's celebrity birthday is Harvey Keitel, 72 years old. Stevie Wonder is 61. Dennis Rodman turns 50. Stephen Colbert celebrates his 47th birthday. Darius Rucker, who used to be with Hootie and the Blowfish. Now he just blows. He's 45. And Robert Pattinson. I wish it was Thomas Pattinson's birthday, but no one knows who he is. So we'll talk about Robert Pattinson instead. He's 25 years old, star of the Twilight films. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. It's that time. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Come back on Monday. What?
Nope.
No, don't thank you for listening.
Nope.
We don't appreciate it.
You made a bad choice.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass
pass it over to me.
It's a groovy way of relaxing, opening your senses.
Roll another one.
I love wheat, okay? I love it.
Just like the other one.
Now's the time to introduce the joints.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
These guys need to turn those frowns upside down. And I got just the thing for that. We call it Doobie Snacks.
You are high as a kite.
Roll another one.
Oh man, am I f***ing stoned.
Just like the other one.
Let's blast a joint.
This one seems to be about to end.
Now it's time to get super duper high.
Very functional when we're high, which is all the time.
Just pass it around.
It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
I love weed, okay? I love it.
I just pass it on down.
Well, what did everybody think?
That stunk.
Worst episode ever.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd like to thank my guests. I'd like to thank the greatest audience in the world. I'm out.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You a quitter. Only fools quit. I pity the fools.
Okay, we're going
to... Okay, we're out of time, man.
I know, we're going to sign off now.
You sign off.
That's what I'm doing. We're going to sign off now because we got to go back to the dorm and cram for our urine test.
That's not funny, man.
Okay.
Good day.